The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who's got the wiener schnitzel? Let's see, next we got roast beef au jus. Who's got the roast beef au jus? Last but not least, footlong. Who's got the footlong?
PFW in Progress.
Okay, gang, you know the rules. No humping, no pushing, no sniffing hind.
With Fred Kirsch.
Wool, host, annual,
host.
Host
annual.
An annual meeting of
the big one. International Preservation Society tomorrow night.
Paul Perillo.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
Don't you go dying on me.
And Andy. And Andy?
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
I beg your pardon?
The owls. They're beautiful.
Andy Hart.
Must have been following us for weeks.
What do you say?
How the hell do they know that I got gas?
Eric Scalavino.
I can't feel my fingers anymore. They're numb.
Maybe you should wear these extra gloves. My hands are starting to get sweaty.
Extra gloves? You've had this pair of extra gloves this whole time?
Yeah. We're in the Rockies.
For now, anyway.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah! PFW in Progress.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys! Guys!
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio or something?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium in OTA. Just got finished here out in the practice field. Andy Hart will be joining us momentarily. I was actually out there for a little bit of it. Liked what I saw, even though I didn't see much. So we'll talk about that today. And one person absent from practice that I'm sure if you've been following Twitter, you probably already know about. And we'll talk a little bit about that. I'm sure there's some good reason for it, but it got everyone wondering what's going on. So lots to talk about here for the next 2 hours. A little late start today because of OTAs. The access to the players just got finished. Andy just walked in the door. So we'll talk to him about who he spoke to and what he saw at the end of practice. Andy.
Fred.
How you doing? You got your Cincinnati Reds visor on today, huh?
I do.
Are you a Cincinnati Reds fan?
No. T-ball.
T-ball?
T-ball.
You're a T-ball fan.
This is my team.
It's your team. You're the Cincinnati Reds?
Yes.
Oh, good.
You okay with that?
I guess so. Webradio at patriots.com is the email
That's
address.
That's all you got?
508-298-0398 is
Hey, Fred,
the
do you remember who the hurt players working out with Gronk were?
I don't even know who they were.
I gave Fred a small assignment. He had his binoculars out. There was a small group of players with Gronk. I think there were like six or eight guys. And I said, who's with Gronk? And you said, well, we got Gronkowski. We got the guy next to Gronkowski.
I couldn't see their numbers. They only have the numbers on the back of the helmet. There's
I'm just
no
glad you
numbers.
Got a little taste of the challenges we face trying to do the dirty work.
It's very difficult, you know. So,
but you mentioned Mallett. I thought, you know, who knows?
I didn't mention Mallett. I mentioned there was a player not there.
Ryan Mallett was among the players not there, which is obviously stands out because as a quarterback, as the tall quarterback, he's easy to find. And he wasn't out there. There were only two quarterbacks today. Who knows why? I'm sure there's a reason, as you said. You know, I was joking. Mallett was traded to the Texans.
Well, that's the first thing everybody thinks about. Right?
But the offshoot of that was more reps in drills for Garoppolo, but also a lot of one-on-one time between Jimmy Garoppolo and Josh McDaniels.
Yep.
Almost testing him, going over stuff. You know, Brady, the receivers, everybody would be somewhere else, and he and McDaniels, a couple different times, were just paired up, separate area, going over some stuff. And then, you know, sort of the cliche thing, when I'm leaving the field now and there's no one else left on the field, Jimmy Garoppolo is out there with, I think, that young Van Hoosier receiver, Roy Finch. You know, there's like three or four running back receiver types, and Garoppolo's still on the field running routes,
sure,
throwing passes.
Yeah, I was
the extra work.
I was watching he and McDaniels, and it seemed like McDaniels would sort of quiz him, give him a scenario, and Garoppolo would have to say what his options were, and then kind of McDaniels would grade him on his response afterwards.
And we know, I mean, that's part of all offensive play. Remember, you know, Charlie Weiss used to give them all the tests and everything and different things. But, you know, obviously trying to find out where he is. And I haven't noticed him failing to run a play. In the reps we've seen last week and this week, I haven't noticed him being unable to set up the offense and go through a play, whether it be skeleton or 7-on-7 or team. You know, he didn't put the ball in the end zone today on one occasion when he had a couple chances. And, you know, he's made some bad throws. I'm not going to pretend that, whoa, Jimmy Garoppolo has been the greatest thing ever. But he looks like he's picking up the offense relatively quickly out there. And I think that's a good sign. And so now all you mallet conspiracy theorists can run with whatever's going on there.
I mean, the little I saw, I love his mechanics. I love Garoppolo's mechanics, his footwork, the way he releases the ball. He just gets it out of his hands so fast. There's no long windup or anything like that. It's just bang. And I think his arm strength is as good as Brady's.
At least
in the routes that I saw. Now, I didn't see later in the practice when they were going longer. But, you know, the intermediate, accuracy and arm strength seems NFL worthy.
It's good enough, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I don't like to get into comparing necessarily. Some guys have obvious cannons, others are just kind of okay, and others stink. To me, he's in the mid-range, and it's good enough to be an NFL quarterback. I don't know exactly where it falls, but I do think his fundamentals are fine. I said this to somebody I was sitting with. He certainly can throw on the rolling out. I think when you see him in the preseason some, and if he ever has to play, I think as they tweak the offense for him, the mobility will be, you know, rolling out some boots and just, you know, moving the pocket a little bit, different things. That, I think, will be a strength of his game whenever he gets to play.
Yep.
There's a lot to like there. Some other things that really I noticed, one of the things I noticed most was the linebackers and the way they were being deployed today. Certainly in some of the team passing defense work against the offense, they were being very aggressive. A lot of Mayo would start at the middle with Hightower on the outside, and then at the last second they would kind of switch and almost run like a linebacker twist where Mayo would blitz off the outside and then Hightower would drop into the middle. Jamie Collins did some of that. I did see a lot of, in three linebacker sets, Mayo in the middle, which a lot of us had been talking about. Is it going to be Mayo and Collins on the outside with Hightower in the middle? I'm not sold on that as much now from what, very limited.
Right,
I don't want to
right.
make these huge leaps. But you pair that with him. Remember him talking this spring about, you know, on third down, I don't really want to cover. I want to rush. I'd like to be going forward, be aggressive. We're seeing him more on the outside. I'm wondering if Mayo is going back to the middle where he was.
I mean, you know, we didn't see the athleticism and the playmaking that we thought from Hightower, certainly in year one. But if that stuff can emerge, he would be more suited on the outside than Mayo.
That's what we were sold on.
Right.
Now, the only question is, can he fulfill that promise?
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
I still have my doubts. Now, he talked about how much better he felt late last year. He felt like he was more comfortable. He knew what he was doing. You know, he feels like a lot was thrown at him early in the year when Mayo went down, and that may have sort of slowed his year two jump. And, you know, he's one of the guys that actually spoke after practice, Hightower. And he talked about how comfortable he was late last year and how good he feels now. But he also actually raved a little bit about Jamie Collins. Said he was kind of an old soul and that he was more comfortable in year one than he's seen, think some players are in year two, year three.
Really?
And that he had a lot of positive things to say about Jamie Collins. Not just his athleticism, which they all rave about, but the football IQ and the learning and the experience and that kind of stuff. So I think that's that linebacker group is very interesting, good or bad, I think. The high side is you have three guys who live up to their draft status, athleticism, playmaking ability. The low side is you have guys that Mayo doesn't make the plays, Hightower maybe should be a middle linebacker, and Collins was a flash who can't do that consistently like he did against the Colts. But I think it's a very intriguing group there. James Anderson also spoke, who is sort of now the backup to that group, the veteran that they brought in.
Yep.
Sebastian Vollmer spoke, talked a little bit about his leg break, and he never was overly scared. And Mike Reese asked him, remember, you could almost hear it.
Oh, yeah, you could hear him yelling.
And, you know, were you ever fearful that it was like a career-ending type injury? And he said, no, you just... You never want to think that, and you have faith in the staff to do what they do and get you back. So he's out there. In offensive line, very interesting as well. I was watching some of the first of all, I think Brian Stork may have pooped himself. I've never seen a guy do this, but he grabbed a bunch of towels, pulled his pants back, shoved the towels way down his butt crack, and was like wiping up and down, and then left it there and like squeezed it between his cheeks. And the only thing I could think of, and by the way, this came right after he failed to snap the ball properly and got yelled at and had to take a penalty lap. And I'm wondering if he literally pooped himself at some point in that phase.
He might have like diarrhea.
Something. Oh. But I've never seen, you know, sometimes they hang a towel.
Let's go shotgun for the rest of the game.
And he was like wiping his ass with a towel.
Okay. All right.
But the offensive line, some interesting notes there. A lot of movement at center. You had Stork, Wendell, Conley, and Klein. I all saw take reps at center. And I think Wendell might be in trouble.
Yeah.
Just another early, just like the reps, Conley at center. If it's a money thing, Conley's in trouble. But if it's pure talent, versatility, I think Ryan Wendell might be in trouble. And Sebastian Vollmer was taking reps at second. He was taking reps at left tackle with a group that included Jimmy Garoppolo. Not at right tackle. I didn't see him take a lot of right tackle reps. Cannon was taking right tackle reps opposite a group that included Nate Solder at left tackle.
Okay.
So just some interesting O-line sort of matchups and movement. And Fleming was out there, the big Stanford tackle. That's his first appearance.
Is he like 6'8"?
I don't know if he's that big. He runs funny, too.
Yeah.
Runs like he's got a stick up his butt. Okay. And you won't like him. You'll make fun of him. He's definitely got like watermelon arms or whatever.
Oh, really? It's a tight end?
Tackle.
Oh, tackle. Yeah. I thought you said tight
end. He runs like he's flexing or something.
Oh, really? And he's a tough guy.
Maybe.
All right.
And Josh Boyce.
Yeah.
Continues to impress.
You like Boyce?
I do like Boyce. Not as much as Paul likes Boyce, but I think he's going to have a good year.
Yeah?
I'm starting to go all in on Boyce.
Dobson not there,
and Kenbrell Tompkins was getting a lot of reps with... Dobson has the foot still.
Right.
Kenbrell Tompkins getting a lot of reps with a group that also includes Amendola and Edelman, and he just continues to struggle to catch the football. Mm-hmm. Double catch, triple catch. I think he's in trouble.
Yeah. Okay.
Early, keep an eye on veteran guys.
And LaFell wasn't out there, right?
LaFell was not out there.
Yeah.
And he missed the first one. He was here for the second one. He actually spoke, and then he missed this one. I don't know what what the deal is.
And, you know, top of the show, we mentioned that Ryan Mallett was not out
there. Not out there. And Rob Gronkowski did what I've seen him do for three straight weeks, which is stretching, form running, and then go to the bubble. Now, I don't know if he was exploding or bursting in the bubble. I never saw him explode or burst for the third straight practice, so I don't know what you'll read in other papers. I can only tell you what I see.
All right, well. Well,
and someone recommended the nickname for Danny Amendola, Dial Tone Danny, for hanging up on Adam Jones.
All right, Dan, I guess Amendola also had his charity thing last night.
Yeah, celebrity waiters
came. Were waiters at his event.
Been a lot going on this week.
Yeah.
We had the marathon and community MVP awards on Monday, which Brady and Mayo went to.
Right.
We had the fantasy camp in the middle of the week.
Right.
We had the waiter thing. We had the cuts for a cause with Gronkowski and Stacey James, the PR director, and different people getting their haircuts. A lot going on this week.
Yeah.
Brady was just last Friday with his thing.
Busy. Busy times.
Right. Get them while you can.
Webradio at patriots.com.
Oh, and quick cleat update.
0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline.
I always like to update Stephen Ridley's cleats because he's had very borderline obnoxious cleats through the first 3 weeks. Today it was Captain America cleats. Big shield with the star on the back.
Yeah.
Those, I think, are Under Armour. I've actually seen those in the store.
The new thing in cleats now is they're high tops, but they're like soft high tops.
Oh yeah, it's like
with the laces almost, that go all the way up.
And it's almost like a neoprene. It's not a firm leather.
That's the big thing now in cleats.
Yeah, and they go a ways up.
Yeah.
Now I don't know if that's just did they figure everybody tapes and then this goes and covers the tape or I don't even know.
I don't know.
Ask Brady. Doesn't he like own Under Armour?
Maybe. I know he has a piece of it. All right. I guess we should go to the emails. Eric's not here because he's still in Budapest. And Paul took a vacation day.
Yep.
So it's just me and you and Kevin. Kevin, did you order the food? Okay, good. Thanks.
Kevin's dressed up. Does he have a job interview?
I don't know. What's he doing?
It's the employee breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
It'll look presentable.
Did you get honored today?
No, but I just didn't want to look like a schmuck up
there. How many years have you been here?
This is my fifth season.
So next year, you'll
maybe
get it.
Well, maybe. One of the great disputes in this organization
is how they do
anniversaries.
It like you have to be here 12 years to get your 10-year.
Right. Yeah, and some people who I think got 15 today claim they've been here almost 20. And like,
Yeah, it's
even Robert and Jonathan who speak talk
Fred
about
got
it.
Called out this morning.
Yes, and he waved from behind the balloons.
Yeah, I, you know, he manages to mention my name
every year, Fred. Every year I've been here, somehow you get mentioned.
Yeah, you wait till next year. It's going to be a bad one.
What's next year?
Well, I think that they honor me for 20 maybe next year.
I feel like you just got your 15 like a year ago or 2 years.
Well, this is my 20th season, so
but that doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything.
No, they have their own numbers. Even Robert and Jonathan have made remarks of, I think our accounting on these years is off.
Yeah, no, I've heard those too. Yeah.
So, who knows?
Yeah. All right. Lots of emails coming in.
We should say Quentin Groves visited the Patriots on Wednesday, according to reports, with the Browns last year. Former second-round pick. Bounced around, limited production. I guess apparently he's sort of morphed into a special teamer at this point in his career, and we know they love special teamers here. So
you need those guys, too.
Could be another depth guy like James Anderson.
Yep. This isn't a Bill Martz team where he doesn't pay attention to the special teams.
Mike.
Yeah.
Mike
Bill
Martz.
This is a Bill Martz, isn't it?
I've never heard of a Bill Martz.
Paul's bad memory, says Bill. This is my first email to a sports show, so don't be too harsh on me. Paul finally broke me with the matter-of-fact way he described the Colts' Super Bowl defense. The 06 Colts had a great defense in the postseason, number one in terms of yards per game. Bob Sanders was the difference between a deep playoff run and another one and done. So he's disputing that was a...
That's what I remembered. Paul did very dismissively say they had the worst defense in the history of the NFL. Like, I don't remember it like that. I thought that was the one year where they got some help on defense, and Bob Sanders, when healthy, was great, and in the postseason it mattered. But my memory's not so good, so I tend not to go
Paul. The MO on the Colts, you know, through that run was their defense wasn't obviously as good as their offense. But I do remember that there was a stretch in the playoffs where they stepped up.
And Sanders, everybody gave Sanders credit for when he's out there, he's a difference maker, and it finally gives Peyton some help on defense and blah, blah, blah.
You know, so people in Indy would say, you know, that defense wasn't as bad as people thought it was.
Like Paul.
Yeah. Well, and also sort of like the 49ers back in the day. You know, everybody talks about Roger Craig and Montana and Jerry Rice, but they had a pretty darn
good
defense.
They had a good defense.
Yeah.
That defense was much better than the Colts defense that won. That defense was legitimately good for an extended period.
Phil in Nova Scotia. Belichick drafted Garoppolo to replace 2008 Matt Castle, not 2015 plus Brady. Since Castle left, Belichick has been looking for a QB that is smart, coachable, and that can manage a game. With Brady's end in sight, Belichick is refocusing on the defense and preparing for a QB that is good and smart enough to be trusted not to lose games for the rest of the team, which, of course, is different from him trusting Brady to win games for the rest of the team. Not that picking a Castle replacement is Belichick's first choice, just more pragmatic.
Well, so I don't like dubbing it a Castle replacement, but this is more of a Patriots quarterback than Ryan Mallett. That's why I said I think they drafted Mallett to trade, and I think they drafted Garoppolo to play. Hoyer, Castle, the guys that they've kind of liked in recent years, this feels like more of that type of pick.
Yeah.
Smart, good release, good fundamentals, accurate. All the things that Mallett seemingly isn't.
Yeah.
So this, to me, feels like it. But I do think he drafted him to replace Brady.
I purely think they picked Mallett for down the road.
Yeah.
To, you know,
trade him.
Yeah.
They saw a guy who supposedly was a first-round talent who slips to the third round. If I can develop him and get a two or a one, that's good business.
Yeah.
It didn't work. Well, we shouldn't say that. Mallett wasn't at practice. We should reiterate.
I don't think they're going to get a two or a one.
You never know. You never know.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Olivier from Virginia's on the line. Hey, Olivier.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great.
Might be anything.
No talk. Are you doing okay without your two musketeers missing?
Doing better.
We're doing fine. Yeah. We don't have Eric to do whatever Eric does.
From Budapest.
No.
Okay.
Hopefully he's in jail and they took his phone away.
Although Mark Capella from 98.5 says he's been communicating with him regularly. So
that's nice.
That's nice.
That's nice.
Maybe he can go work for 98.5.
Excited about the World Cup.
Yes, very excited for a team that has no chance to win, according to its
coach.
Oh,
by the way, and not to interrupt you, Olivier, but I want to defend Klinsmann a little bit. I don't know how many of these comments he made, but the one I heard, he said that it's unrealistic to talk about winning the World Cup at this point.
Those were the comments when he arrived this week in wherever, Rio.
Oh.
You have to read the ones where he said no shot in hell in the New York Times.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. Because if
he's sort of sticking by it, but softening it for now.
The ones I heard yesterday were just basically what Belichick would say at the beginning of the season. We're just talking about next week. You know?
Yeah, no, he's somewhat sticking with what he said, but softening it. You need to read the ones from the, I think it was the Times, but it might have been the New York or something earlier.
Right. Okay.
Well, maybe he was just trying to motivate the team. Now, it's not necessarily the great way to motivate the team to tell them that they don't have a chance, but the truth is, first of all, I'm calling for two things. It's going to be hopefully a great, a great tournament, and I'm glad that people are getting jazzed about it. But what I was a little bit surprised is that I was listening to Gresh and Zoe on WEI, and these people were, I guess, trying to open their mind to the idea of what the World Cup was about, and then it turned out to be, it seems like a debate about, how poorly the sport is being embraced in the United States. While this is not MLS, obviously, it's the world top players and athletes that actually have been competing for the last 2 or 3 years to make it, and then this is the final round of countries having competed with their best talent with 23 players on the roster and hopefully being a contender. And I think it's interesting that we at the dawn of this great competition, and still some people are not aware of what this is all about. It's kind of a month worth of almost Super Bowl excitement, and I hope people embrace that. I don't know if you've seen the same thing in Boston media, but I was a little bit shocked by Gresh and Zoe's lack of knowledge on that event.
I think that's par for the course in America. I think, my son is really into it. He's into the World Cup. But I think most people, they understand how big a world event it is. I mean, it besides the Olympics, it might even be bigger than the Olympics.
Oh, I think there's more passion.
Yeah, but I think that Americans are like, ho-hum.
Yeah. But I think there's more people that grasp it now.
I agree. Yeah.
I mean, seen...
I think the internet helps.
Is it NBC Sports Network who has been airing a lot of these games?
Well, yeah. Soccer games in general, yeah.
Yeah, they've had a lot of European soccer on, and I think that's only going to extend the audience.
And I think of Nesson, they have
Nesson has done it.
Liverpool games.
But I'm thinking, NBC Sports is the whole country.
Yeah.
The only problem I have, and I don't know anything about it, but our buddy Warren Ladd I saw was tweeting, and he thinks it's a pretty crappy World Cup field / draw / whatever.
Yeah.
No, he just thinks it's not going to be a very good World Cup overall, the games and the competition. I don't know. Yeah. I have no idea. But, that happens. You can look at an NFL postseason and say, I don't think this is going to be a great postseason.
So there was one company doing a $10 million challenge. You had to guess 30 of the scores, right? And
I got one nil.
One nil. I mean, at least 30 of the scores are going to be 1-0.
It was 0-0.
Well, they can't be. I mean, they'll have
to. See, Fred, that's the ignorant American.
Right.
So I'll tell you a story about, I think it was about 10 years ago. I was in Florence in this hotel, and I was watching Italy playing against, I think it was during the Korean World Cup. And out of the blue, this guy sits next to me, and I turn around and I was like, well, I know this guy for some reason. I've seen him before. And then we start talking, and I realize it's Dan Marino, and he was there with his family and so forth. And so we start talking, and one thing that was funny was that he says, you know what? I don't understand why these people are happy. They just tied. They didn't win. They just tied. So I had to explain to him, well, this is the first qualification round, so therefore sometimes not losing is more important. Tying, can actually help you go through or to qualify and so forth and so forth. And it was difficult for him to get the fact that if you're not first, you're last. You know, I mean, it's not about losing. It's, sometimes it's preserving, the tie or not losing to allow you to get into the other, the other round. But anyways, just wanted to call and say hi. I don't want to take too much of your time and tell you that you have produced again a fantastic couple of weeks of great shows, great arguments, and I'm glad you guys are doing this and during the the off season and keep up the good work, and I can't wait to hear more of your exploits on the radio.
Thanks, Olivier. Thanks
for
calling.
Did he say exploits or explodes?
I thought he was going to start saying explodes, but I think he said exploits.
A guy, you asked me about my Reds hat. One of my assistant coaches, their family is going to Italy for like a family vacation.
So you're the head coach?
Yeah. Oh. They call it the manager. If I were Tito Francona, I'd say it's the manager. I'm not the head coach.
Do you chew when you're in the dugout and spit? No.
But they're all going to Italy next week or something. And he's like, I don't know what I don't really like my family. And I was like, it's the World Cup. You got to be able to find like a soccer bar, right? That'd be pretty cool to go watch Italy play.
Yeah.
And be in like, and he was like, that's a good idea. Buy a jersey. I said, but make sure you root for them. Don't root against them. You might get in trouble. But that's something I would like. I don't have to like soccer, but if you put me in a room of 50 Italian, you know, we having a couple beers and watching, and you get caught up in the emotion.
Yeah, I remember seeing in 1994, at the old Foxborough Stadium, they brought in World Cup. You know, World Cup was in the United States. And I remember seeing Italy playing, I forget who it was, and Italy ended up winning in overtime, and the fans were just going nuts. It was a great atmosphere.
You feed off of others' emotion, and they're vested in it.
Yeah.
Me, I'm not all that. EEI called me yesterday. So, what do you know about soccer? I go, nothing. Any of the other four sports you want me to come in and talk, I'm good. But
you should have said nothing, which makes me as qualified as any other host you have.
No, I think it doesn't. Dale Arnold, doesn't he fancy himself a soccer guy?
I don't think so.
Oh, I thought he did.
He coaches youth soccer. I know that. He coaches like Westwood youth soccer.
Rico's in New Orleans. Hey, Rico.
Suave.
How you doing?
Good.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay, man.
What's up?
Hey, I'm calling to ask about Tom Brady not being elite anymore. I think that's just so insane.
It is insane. We agree.
Actually, I think he's the greatest ever.
Well, that you can argue, but to say that he is no longer elite... A year after, oh, by the way, he was elected to the Pro Bowl. And oh, by the way, he led his team to the playoffs in the AFC title game. And, you know, statistically,
he's
down.
Yeah, for any other quarterback, his numbers would have been phenomenal.
But because he's not, you know, keeping, you know, with Peyton, what Peyton did in Denver, he's fallen off. Well, you know what? I'm watching Kembrell Tompkins out on this practice field. He still can't catch. He had receivers who couldn't catch.
No. That's another question I want to ask, but it's going to be regarding the defense. Do you think Dominic Easley is going to make an immediate impact on the defense?
I haven't seen Dominic Easley. He is not signed, first of all, and he has not been out here. So the longer that goes, the less likely an immediate impact is. Because A, he's dealing with the injury, the ACL, but then B, he's dealing with learning the defense, getting acclimated. And oh, by the way, they have some depth there now.
Yeah,
you know, if Kelly and Wilfork are there, Silver Silinga, Hightower was very high on what he did late last year. You have Chris Jones, Joe Villano, maybe Armand Armstead. I don't know if he exists.
Right. And, you know, if history is anything that we can go by, any guy that misses extended time in training camp, mini camps, you're in trouble.
Yep.
I mean, even the guy, was it Taylor Price?
Yep.
Got behind the eight ball because his school graduated a little later and he couldn't get here. I mean, he never caught up.
Right. And, I mean, and we've seen it. I think Boyce may have missed some time with a hamstring last year. You miss those practices, and it can be a death blow to your rookie year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could. One more question. How's Darrell Revis looking?
He looks like Darrell Revis. I mean, we don't get a ton of reps, and you see him, he's uptight, man-to-man. He looks like Darrell Revis. You know, you haven't seen a lot of big – well, first of all, there's no – big receiver for him to match. I mean, is it Julian Edelman that you're going to say, wow, Darrell Revis shut down Julian Edelman? Or I don't know who that is, but he looked fine. He's healthy and he's out there and I like it.
All right. Thanks, Rico. Thanks for the call.
Did you notice they did go hurry up one time and Brady threw to Edelman, Amendola Edelman was four straight throw. Back to the same offense again.
Yeah. Let's see. Adam from Dublin, working my usual Thursday shift, so I can't listen live, but I would like to pick Paul's brain on a former Patriots player. Well, you're going to have to use me and Andy's. I got Sean Glennon's book, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly of the Patriots for Christmas, and I was reading about Daryl Stingley, who got treated very harshly by one of the former owners. Obviously, I could go and research my question on the internet, but I'm hoping Paul might be able to add a bit of color to the story and explain about the circumstances that led to Stingley leaving the Patriots. Oh, well, that's – Daryl Stingley didn't leave the Patriots on his own. He got basically paralyzed going over the middle by the Raiders.
Tatum.
Jack Tatum you know, really a vicious hit. And he never walked after that and died, I think, about maybe 8 years ago or so. I forget, but it was real a tragic, tragic story. Stingley was, you know, had a really great future ahead of him. And, like I said, got hit with a vicious, one over the middle by Jack Tatum and, you know, never walked again and had a lot of other complications because of that and, you know, spent the rest of his life in a wheelchair. Tatum, never apologized, and that was the big thing. Never said he was sorry for the hit and so on. And Tatum also had a pretty bad life after football. I think, I don't know if he got diabetes or something, but he lost both legs.
He had something, yeah.
Yeah. So there was a couple books about that that I don't know the names of them that you might look up, you know, Jack Tatum or Daryl Stingley.
Well, Jack Tatum embraced he had a book called The Assassin.
Right.
And he embraced that idea of him, the hard-hitting enforcer guy. And yeah. I think that bothered some people, too.
Yeah. And, you know, that's what the Raiders were known for back
right.
then. You know.
But when you paralyze somebody, now the shtick is kind of over. It's life, and it's...
Yeah.
I think that's kind of a douche move. I mean, you see guys go the other way. Who was it that... 49ers here.
49ers here.
Patriot guy hit a 49er and was never the same.
Well, John Stevens hit a guy.
Yeah, it was him.
He was running and he hit a guy and the guy got, I think it was Bird, was it? No, that's the Jets guy. But he hit a guy and after that,
he didn't run the same way.
Stevens never ran the same way and people thought that, you know, that was always on his mind, that he paralyzed.
And that can happen in either direction after, you know, I think Tatum took it as a badge of honor, and I'm an assassin. I knock people out. I paralyze them, basically.
Right.
Like, that's a good thing. That's what I do.
Right.
Whereas other guys go the other way.
Yep. Let's see. Mike from Stinky Florida writes in. Do you guys use the NFL All-22 on NFL Rewind?
Yes.
I
mean, I'm not going to pretend I watch every play, but anytime I want to break something down, I go to it.
It's cheap and shows so much more than TV. I just watched 3 or 4 games from the past season. It may be more critical of Brady. Of course, we will never know what the original call was, audibles, defensive adjustments, etc. To me, Brady missed a lot of throws, often chose a covered receiver to one running pretty open. More than once, I saw Amendola running a short out or an in-cut and was as open as you could be in the NFL, and Brady chose to force it somewhere else. I hope all this talk about him fires him up, but I think Bill believes TB12 doesn't have much more in the tank.
Well, that is certainly a criticism that you hear of Brady, that he has his guys and he goes to them too much and conversely kind of blackballs guys for different reasons. You know, whether it's Taylor Price, whether it's Danny Amendola last year. I mean, certainly Ben Volen was all in that Brady lost trust and faith in Amendola. That is a criticism you hear whispers about. And I think that's a more legitimate criticism than just he's not elite anymore. That, you know, you can question his inability to develop some guys or develop new relationships with guys, some of that kind of stuff. I think at times that's a fair criticism.
Well, and, you know, a lot of times Brady has said, you know, I'm not the coach. I'm not the guy who decides who's out on the field. Well, and that's the case. You know, if they tell you to throw to a guy, throw to him and let the coach decide to take him off the field.
But they don't tell you to throw to a guy.
Well,
throw to the open guy or throw to
well,
the
officer. Well, the guy's open, throw it to him. And let
no,
the,
I know.
And let the coach do what he has to
but
do.
But I do think at times Brady, whatever you want to call it, blackballs guys, loses faith in guys, gets more comfortable with other guys, trusts guys too much, and forces it to them.
Okay, Eldridge wants me to apologize for hanging up on him.
No, I want you to apologize.
I'm sorry, Eldridge. I pressed the wrong button, but why didn't you call back? We would have gotten you right back on.
Six times, Red.
What?
I'll call back 6 times.
You call back 6 times.
He had full lines, though.
Oh. It went 4, then it went busy. Went 4 beats, busy.
Oh,
four
so beats. The lines were
well,
busy.
We're very popular.
Yeah.
Although, it does suck for you, what did he wait, 35 minutes and then got hung up on?
I think so, yeah.
Nice job,
yeah.
Fred.
Yeah.
We did that on purpose, that's all.
All right.
How y'all doing?
Good.
Okay. Everybody like to bash Brady. Okay, y'all keep doing it, all right? And I'm going to agree with Andy a little bit. I don't think he's doing anywhere. And everybody want to nut Garoppolo, whatever his name is, that's a nuts coming passer. He ain't played a down NFL yet. He ain't throw nothing. He ain't did no preseason. So I know they picked him high in the second round. But until you step on the field in Purdue, I'll say, okay, maybe. But right now, I think Brady's going to play at least 3. And he will take that $8-9 million. He's been doing it all his whole career. So he's been an ultimate patriot. So, you know, that's what I think. And
I will say, Tom Brady is fired up as ever. Every time you watch him, he's yelling at somebody, good or bad. You know, he threw one to Vereen, and he's celebrating. He made a throw on a rollout where he, like, kind of praised himself, and then the snap didn't go off properly, and it was bad.
I think his competitive juices are flowing. There's no doubt.
I don't think he can unflow them.
Yeah.
I think he may have had a little hiccup early in his middle of his career. I think he may have had a little hiccup there. Remember when he said, like, you know, there's got to be more
there's
than
more
this.
Than just
and
this.
That's kind of when he stopped being here as much in the off season. But whatever did it, I think it's been totally reignited and is back 100%.
And it had to do with, I think, the whole Moynihan thing and the son and, you know, that thing.
Could be.
I think that took a little bit of a toll
could
on
could be.
Him.
But whatever it is, I think he's all in and all back and wants to, and what he said the other day and, you know, being selfless for the team and all. I think he's all in and still has that fire.
Okay, my question is this. How can he not be in the top five when he should be the top one, not two? Because quarterbacks are based on Super Bowl ring. Brady got three.
Says who?
Says the NFL Network, says all the NFL writers.
Well, no, they don't, because I don't. I can watch a guy and put my own parameters on what I'm judging him on.
He is in the top five. There's no doubt.
But you can't say he's just number one because he has the rings. I mean, does that automatically make Ben Roethlisberger second because he has the two
Everyone
rings?
Everyone sucks but me.
No. Time out. You'd have Brady with three. That's number one. And then you'd have Manning and Roethlisberger tied for number two. Right? If it's just rings, you got to go by the rings.
Eli Manning.
Yeah, Eli Manning.
Right? Yeah, Eli got two.
And Russell Wilson would be the same as Peyton Manning.
Right. No, it's crazy. It's very subjective, but you have to look beyond the rings and you have to look beyond one season.
You naturally look at whatever you look at, whatever your internal, you know, you could look at a guy like Elway and say he's great because he has the gun. He could run early in his career. That person might think Randall Cunningham was the second best because he had a gun and he could run. He never won anything, but you might say he was so good. And if you had put him with, you know, Bill Walsh and the Niners, he would have won because physically he was awesome.
Well, Jeff George threw a nice looking ball downfield.
Whatever. Yeah. I mean, each person brings their own parameters, but you can't just say it's rings. Best by rings. It's just rings. Terry Bradshaw, the greatest ever?
Right.
Everybody tells me Terry Bradshaw may or may not should be in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
You get strong arguments on both sides.
They had a point on which way the line of scrimmage was. Thanks, Eldridge. Let's go to Laurent from Canada. Hey, Laurent.
Robinson?
Hey, guys. I've always listened to your show. I really enjoyed it. I just had two questions. Well, one question, one comment. I was up in Canada, and I watched the CFL when Armand Armstead was playing.
Yes.
And I think we really got a really good pick because that guy could rush like Taba Ali, and I know he hasn't played it down yet, but when he does, I think he'll be like a number two or number three, as one of you have said in the past.
Yeah, we'd like to believe that.
On that.
I believed that last year, but I haven't seen him since, and that worries me. He's still not out there. We don't know what he's
doing.
Do you think
they'll ever tell us what was wrong last year?
No. Nope. They'll never tell us. He might let it slip out, or if he leaves, maybe somebody will talk about
it. It's not like it was an illness. It wasn't like
an infection.
Yeah.
What if he has AIDS?
Well, I guess he'd want to maybe
is that
keep
an
that
infection?
Quiet.
Yeah, HIV.
It's a virus. Yeah.
Oh wait, so is that an infection, right?
No.
What's an infection?
Yeah, infection is when
a virus is an infection, I believe.
I guess it is.
But I'm saying there could be a reason,
yeah.
Or it could have been MRSA or MERS that they wanted to keep quiet because it's a bad.
Right.
Like,
but
the,
now it's over. Is my point. So
is it?
I.
Why is he not out there?
Oh, he's not out there?
No, he's not out there. We haven't seen him.
Oh, I didn't know
and
that.
And he was even billed to be going to the Kevin Falk charity thing, and he didn't go to that.
Oh, then.
He may or may not exist.
Why are we even still mentioning his name?
Because he has potential.
No, he doesn't if he's never out there.
No, he has potential. He just doesn't have production. But the caller is right. He has this tweener where he can rush. He could be a run.
Yeah,
big,
3 years ago.
No! A year and a half ago in Canada!
USC.
But it is problematic that he missed his final year at USC, played, missed a full year. Now you've missed two of the last 3 years.
Right.
Things do tend to erode if you're not, you know, use it or lose it type stuff.
Right. So. All right, Laurent.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say, when you guys did the Mike Mayock top five wide receivers thing,
yep.
I've never laughed so hard in my life. I almost got off the street, and I just thought it was hilarious. It was one of the best comments. And being a fan here in Canada is really hard with the stupid idiot Buffalo fan, but I'll survive. And I'll call back later. You guys are great. Just wanted to say that.
All right. Thanks, Lauren. Lauren calling up from Canada. Kamani writes in, can you explain to me why Eric had me banned from the show? Is he going through one of his paranoid egomaniac phases again?
Well, first of all, Eric doesn't have the power to ban you from the show.
But when he's the host, does he ban him?
I don't know, maybe. He has the power to not read emails in the host seat.
Right.
But Kamani has not been, to my knowledge, banned from the show.
Not at all.
Okay. Fred is the only one with the power to ban somebody from the show.
Right. I don't.
So, Kamani, feel free to email in and take part in the show today if you want.
No, Eric,
he hates Kamani. But Eric hates everybody.
Paranoia and egomania is not a phase for Eric.
No.
He
lives it.
That's it.
As we were joking today, if they put him in prison in Eastern Europe, they will kick him out and send him home because they'll be so sick of his pompous a-hole attitude.
Please leave me alone, Eric. My bottom is really sore.
Let's see. David Milwaukee writes in, glad that all the important elements of the show are back at it. That is, assuming Eric is still trying to get lucky in Europe. Living in Packerland, one of my buddies had suggested that he would hypothetically trade Green Bay's GM, Ted Thompson, for Bill Belichick, the GM, in a heartbeat. I said I would do that without much reservation either. Anyway, not being as in touch with the Patriots' personnel moves as Patriots fans are, he had asked, why would you do that trade? What has Bill done wrong as a GM? Oh, okay, so Dave is saying he'd do it on the other way around.
So basically, both good teams are unhappy with their GMs and would swap them.
Right. I wanted to propose that question to you. What do you think Bill's biggest blunder as a GM has been in his time with the Patriots? This could be a draft pick, personnel decision, bad contract, etc. For me, a mistake that I think he's still trying to recoup from is letting Asante Samuel walk away. And as we all know, attempting to replace him with Butler, Dowling, Starks, McCurdy, etc. What do you guys think? So, biggest blunder,
well,
in as a personnel guy.
I don't know if what I'm about to say is fair or not, but Aaron Hernandez is pretty high up there.
That's not fair.
Well, I don't know. I don't know whether that's fair or not. I don't know the inner workings of what NFL GMs should know about their players' off-field activities.
So what's the bigger blunder when it comes to Hernandez? Drafting him or giving them that big contract?
To me, the big contract.
Okay.
Because you had him under your watch.
Right.
And that's hurting them on the field. It's hurting them on the cap. That right now is a major issue for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
But again, I don't know how fair or not fair that is.
Right.
You know, like the Falcons, he was off their draft board. But again, drafting to me is one chance. Re-signing for $45 million when he just committed, allegedly, a murder.
But no one knew.
I know, but should they have?
If he hadn't committed the second murder, no one would have known
but
about that murder.
But should they have? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer. I'm
the police didn't know. No one knew.
But Fred, you understand that we don't know a lot of stuff that the team knows
True.
About these guys.
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of these guys that have incidents and issues that never make it to public light.
Yeah, but
So I don't know. But to me, that's an issue that has really handcuffed this team a little bit for the last couple of years.
Sure.
If it's not that, then I would probably go, if you're going strict draft pick, I would probably go Dowling.
Yeah.
With the first pick of the second round, I think is a pretty horrendous pick. And
Chad Jackson, too.
Chad Jackson was bad. That's bad. I'm not going to lie. That's bad.
You know?
The second round, you could almost just say, is not his sweetest of spots.
Right.
You know, you've had a couple hits with Gronkowski and whatever, but there's been a lot of misses in that second round.
Yep.
And then he's gone through a pretty horrendous stretch of trades, too.
Yeah, Ocho Cinco, really?
Ocho Cinco, Haynesworth, the same deal.
Dana Stubblefield.
The guy last year. That was a bad trade for the big Samoan.
Yeah.
Why can't I think of his name?
Fanene.
Fanene was bad.
Yeah.
That may have been a medical. Again, I don't know if that one's fair or not.
Yeah, that's not fair.
The guy from the Eagles. Who was it? I can't even effing think of it.
I know. He did nothing.
He didn't. He was inactive within like 2 weeks.
He started. Salinga came in and basically kicked us.
Right.
Beat him out.
Right.
Yeah. And then.
He was a Samoan.
You know, and I think not going a little bit extra for John Abraham was a big miss. I think he would have really helped this defense.
He would have, but to
year.
Me, that's...
Well, it's a personnel decision.
And by the way, we're kind of also just glossing
Isaac
over...
Isaac Sopawaga.
Yeah, right.
As history may show, the Welker... We wouldn't pay $13 or $14 million for, and then giving $30 million to Danny Amendola might end up looking pretty bad too. If you get another, if Welker has another really good season in Denver, if he plays the bulk of the year and doesn't have injuries, and you get another, you know, Danny Dialtone season. Yeah.
Well, there's hundreds of decisions you make every year as a GM
and
on
this,
an NFL
but
team.
But that's what this shows.
Right.
People who watch the Ted Thompson closely.
They
are upset with him.
That's always
and people
been
who
my
watch
point.
Bill Belichick closely are upset with him.
That's always been
but
my
both
point.
Teams are good because they have great quarterbacks.
Right. That's always been my point. You can nitpick and for any GM and find all the things, but look at their total body of work and who would you rather have?
And the other issue is with Ted Thompson, much like I always talk about Bill, there are very few GMs who've been the GM of a team for 15 years you can compare them to. Cause the crappy ones are all gone.
That's true.
They've had four GMs with that team. Yeah. Ted Thompson has been there for 8 or 10 years.
Right.
So he's a guy that has longevity that you can criticize good and, you know, the bad.
Good point. Kent.
Good point.
Kent in Venice, normally Montreal, writes in.
Wow.
Nothing Patriots today, just an anecdote. I'm on vacation in Italy and we keep seeing these lion head doorknob knocker things. Every time my wife points them out, I say, yeah, that's a nice set of knockers. And I giggle like Andy every time. Go Pats, F the Jets.
That's awesome.
Andy liked that.
I wonder if his wife has a nice set of knockers.
Let's see. Who's this? I don't know. Chris in Boston. Just wanted to respond to the comment
I don't
Andy
know,
had
Chris in Boston.
On whether or not the Patriots have a number two cornerback or not. I think the fact you guys don't watch many games outside of the Patriots makes you underrate certain players we have. For example, Alfonso Dennard would be a pretty good number two option on most teams. I agree. That's what I said. It's true. Outside of the top seven players at the position, cornerbacks give up a lot of plays, even the supposed good ones. There is no such thing as an elite number two cornerback.
That I agree with.
Unless you get a number one cornerback and you put him as your number two, you're not going to get a lot better than Dennard. And you certainly don't need a better option to have a good defense. Is Gerard Powers in Arizona an elite cornerback? How about Melvin White in Carolina, Terrell Brown in San Francisco, 36-year-old Terrence Newman? None of these guys are significantly better than Dennard, who I might add shut down Marquise Colston, Eric Decker, Marvin Jones, has made Andrew Luck his personal delivery boy, and held his own versus Andre Johnson. Just saying, you could do a lot worse than Dennard as your number two, especially if you already have a true number one.
I agree.
Yeah, I think I agreed with that, definitely.
But I still am not totally sold that he's good either. I think number two corners is a unique position because it means you're not good enough to be a number one unless you're ascending or you're descending from being a former number one. Or, you know, the only way you get great corners usually is if you have a one, you know, you have a Ty Law and then you hit on a draft pick and he's sort of an ascending future number one and you kind of have them at the same time.
Right.
But
you can't afford two elite cornerbacks.
Most teams aren't going to draft two corners in the top 10 in consecutive years or pay $50 million and then draft one in the top. It's hard.
Right. But I agree with the emailer. As a number two, I think Dennard is fine. You know?
We'll
the problem
out.
Is when you
injuries. The problem is, I don't know where he is.
No, the problem is when injuries happen and Dennard becomes your number one and Arrington becomes your number two and, you know, that trickle down effect. But this year, on paper, they've got the best step they've had in, you know, at cornerback in a long time.
I agree. The one problem is I haven't seen Dennard.
Or Browner, really.
No. Browner's out there. I haven't seen Dennard.
Oh, you mean on the field.
I don't know where. I mean, he supposedly is not incarcerated at this point. That's done. We don't know if he's going to have any sort of suspension from the league, right?
I haven't heard anything.
But
my guess is no, or we would have heard it about it.
I don't know, though.
Because
these
people have access to that stuff.
But well, if it's been decided.
Yeah. And they would.
Sometimes they don't decide it until the legal has run its course.
But I thought it has.
Well, the jail did. But I don't know about community service, probation period, anything like that. The only thing, like, you know, if I'm Jim Irsay and everybody says they're going to get him pretty good, 6 or 8 games, $1 million, something. If I'm him, well, Patriots have a guy that was arrested twice and spent time in jail and he didn't get a suspension of any kind. And we're supposedly under the same personal conduct policy. So the league has to be careful with precedent and keeping everything even and equal.
How about Ursay with all that money?
And he says that's normal.
Yeah.
Did you read those
in
quotes?
In laundry bags?
Did you read those quotes, though? Was it Kravitz or one of those local guys?
And
I would like to get the interview because the guy kept writing, you know, wouldn't answer with something he wanted public. So he clearly talked to Kravitz a lot because he said it was like a 2+ hour interview.
Right.
But said that's off the record. That, you know, so he's got a lot going on in his head that he knows about.
Yeah. There's no way that you just carry around, what was it, $29,000, some in a briefcase, some in laundry bags. I mean,
well, in the interview, did you hear? He opened a briefcase and there was a briefcase full
of. Well, that was a setup.
I know. Obviously. It's great, though. Yeah. I love the games. I like how he really fixated on that it's a disease.
Saying I had a problem and, you know, I was probably going to do something bad with that money.
I'll tell you where his opportunity, I would say, is to sort of use this as not only a teachable moment but to benefit from it. This is a budding issue with players, pain management. You know, Nick Cashier, and today I think Matt Bowen wrote something for National Football Post today. This is an issue. Fred McCrary, the former fullback, I believe, is in a lawsuit. There's this pain management thing where basically you feed us this stuff to get us on the field, and then when we're done, you kick us to the curb, and we're addicted to these painkillers. We no longer have to get on. And if he could sort of tie himself into this and making it the right program, and I'll give $5 million to start the addiction resource center in the league, and he could kind of spin this in a PR way.
He could. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Joey Seep in Florida. Hey, Joey.
Hey, Fred. How you doing? Andy, how you doing?
What's good. Up?
So many topics, so little time. You just reminded me, Andy, of something I completely forgot about. Nick Cashier, I completely forgot about.
Yeah, he had a problem.
He came out of the Canadian league, didn't he?
No, he came out of Canada. He was Canadian. He went to Toledo, I believe, played American college football. Yeah, he was Canadian, but didn't play in the CFL.
Oh, okay. But he was a pretty good player.
Yeah, didn't he have a problem with the pills, too?
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he got caught coming across the border, and he rolled on his dealer and wore a wire. He went FBI informant.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, Andy, did you hear about the Amish girl in York, Pennsylvania? She got excommunicated from the congregation. You know why?
Why?
Two men a night.
All right, Joey, with that...
He started talking. Fred didn't have his hand on the mouse, and as soon as he said, "Did you hear about the arm?" Fred grabs the mouse and got ready to click off.
Joey, you'll be here for two nights only.
two men.
David's in L.A. Hey, David.
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
Good.
What's up?
Hey, I was wondering, why is everybody talking about Tom Brady and his decline from last season? I mean, every year he's been going to the AFC East Finals, right?
The AFC title game, three straight years.
Right. So, I mean, well, basically we've been...
knocking on the door of a Super Bowl, right.
It is the flaw in the argument. He's not elite, and you say the Patriots don't have a good defense, don't have a good running game, and don't have good receivers. Well, how the hell are they? Is it just Belichick? He's carrying them to the AFC title game? No, Brady's a massive part of it.
Exactly. And they're saying, you know, he's not top five quarterback. And this is really
who's they?
You know?
Sam Munson. And although Sam Munson didn't actually, it's actually the headline writers at ESPN.
No, is there a list that came out recently that ranked the quarterbacks or something?
No, this was the Sam Munson story where he said Brady's declining. ESPN put a headline that said Brady not top five or something, which Munson didn't really say in the story and didn't really give a rundown of who the best were. This was a product of ESPN and sensationalistic journalism.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, this is really upsetting me because...
why? That's the problem I have. I understand, you know, you're a Patriots fan, you love... But why does it really upset you if some moron says something stupid?
Well, because, like I said, we're going to the conference final, or... I'm talking NBA here for some reason. Conference, you know...
I know.
No, but why does it bother you? You know the truth. If some moron says something stupid, then you say he just proved he's still a moron. You know the truth. You should stand by your faith and your knowledge of what is real and what is right, and that is Tom Brady.
It'll be that much more sweeter, Dave, when, you know, he has another great year, and, you know, you can just laugh at the critics.
But don't take them seriously.
Yeah. No. And
no hair off your back. Skin, hair.
No, of course. And I think it's just the same drive that drives Tom Brady. It's just like, okay, you want to say something like that about me?
Sure.
And I'm going to show you.
He hears it. Believe me.
So that's why it kind of bothers me. It's not because of the fact that, you know what, it affects me personally. No, it affects me because I am a Patriots fan. Right. I am a Tom Brady fan. And, you know, even though Peyton Manning has...
I know, but remember, Dave, our best times as Patriots fans were when people were saying that we weren't that good and, you know, we were underdogs. Those were our sweetest memories and our best times. So let's welcome the rest of the critics telling us we can't do it. And Brady's, let's welcome that. Let's thrive off that. You know,
rape and pillage.
Let's get that, you know, be jacked up and ready to go. And, you know, we'll rub it in their noses every time we win this year.
Have Brian Stork.
Oh, definitely.
All right, well, Dave. Thanks for calling. They started that out. I thought he was under the covers or something in his bed.
Maybe
what he was doing.
Well, you know, he's out in L.A., right? It's only
true.
10 a.m. or something.
That's true.
Late sleeper, 11 a.m.
Let's see. Pat Bowen in Agawam says he wants to clear up the 2006 Colts question. They entered the playoffs with the 32nd ranked rushing defense. There was almost a consensus among the talking heads that if Larry Johnson didn't end up rushing over their D, they wouldn't get past San Diego in the AFC. How'd that work out for them? They weren't the worst defense in NFL history. They were, however, the lowest-ranked regular season rushing defense to win the big one. So screw you, Paul, even though you're not there today.
It's typical Paul, sort of manipulating things to fit his argument.
It was the rushing D.
And he says it so emphatically that people like me just believe that he knows what he's talking about.
Let's see.
Hot in here? Paulie won't see him no more.
Not really.
I'm kind of hot.
Are you hot? No. I don't know. Take off your visor.
No, I'm sure I got hat head. I wore this on Patriots.com, just so you know. Because I couldn't take it off and had hat head. I covered the logo with my sunglasses, though.
Let's see.
Even though it's not like I wore Red Sox.
Josh in Charlottesville, Virginia. First of all, what was up with the music today? When I got back from lunch at a Mexican place, and I thought I had gone insane upon hearing it playing in my office.
Why is it going to be a Mexican place?
I don't know.
Was he playing the ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba?
Well, when I came in at 10 to 12, Kevin thought we were starting at noon, so we started playing music. And I had to remind him we weren't starting until 1.
That's a true fact.
But we do have to adhere now to certain music rules, right, Kevin? Oh, he's on the line. I don't know
what rules.
Yeah, we had the hammer come down on us from upstairs.
You know, I guess when you're on TV radio, you have to have licenses for every piece of music you play.
We have certain licenses that entitle us to play like airplay music, popular music, like in stadium and other areas, but we can't use it for Patriots.com radio.
So what do we play on the
web
now? We
have a library that we do pay for that we can choose.
It's very generic
stuff.
There's no name hits on it?
No, there isn't.
Nothing?
There's nothing on
it. So it's like elevator music or whatever?
Pretty much elevator music, yeah.
Really?
So I was trying to there were a couple people that wrote in and say, is the show like offline? And I wrote back to them from my personal email and was like, hey, we're going to start at 1.
So we certainly need to limit the times we have music playing if we don't have any good music.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Or can we get a license like we do for the stadium?
No, but
I guess it'd
be a lot. Because now you're essentially streaming music.
So we license for the stadium roughly just 70,000 seats, and it's like a certain percentage of a dollar per each seat.
We're way over that here. But what if you only
and in the stadium you only play?
I thought there
snippets.
Was a rule like if you only played up to 10 seconds, you could get away.
Yeah, I thought you could get away with playing like 15 seconds for a rejoin or something like that.
Okay, I got the answer.
Or using just the music with no lyrics, like the instrumental beds.
Yeah,
let's
look. Why don't you send an email to legal about that?
All right, I will. I'll put you on it.
What if we figure out a way to auto-click on songs on iTunes and we only play that little teaser they give you?
Well, I'm sure they have permission, but I'm sure we have a lawyer out there listening who knows all about these rights things on radio. You know, give us the 411 on what we're allowed.
Fred wants to start his own streaming service.
You would think, so we're not taking the music and passing it off as us. If anything, we're promoting it by using it.
Yeah, but you're still playing it.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand that, you know, artists want to be paid for their work, but I thought there was something that if you only play a certain amount, you could do it.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I think we're in the wrong.
Well, probably, which is why we're going to be in the right from now.
Okay.
And playing.
Josh says, on another note, who is this Jag tight end Offray that they just signed? I know it's too much to expect for Jones to make any sort of impact this year. And with Gronk's health, always a question. Could you see Jimmy Graham coming to the Patriots in the coming season?
No. And this guy is a Jag who has a hole in his resume that Paul is really fixated on, where there's like a couple years where he was just missing. He's like an undrafted guy, but like he popped up. He won one of those regional combines, put up great numbers, and that kind of got him back in the mix. And apparently the Patriots were interested in him last year, and then he had an injury, and it didn't work out. He's an interesting story. We haven't gotten a chance to talk to him yet. But, yeah, he's like a 27-year-old undrafted player, basically.
Dan says, quick comment, don't anyone suggest that I'm implying that Brady is no longer elite, but if the day comes when the only thing notable about Brady's previous season is a Pro Bowl selection, I wouldn't consider that a good argument for him still being elite.
Wait.
Especially when we poo-poo Merriweather or McCurdy selections.
Who said that was the only thing?
Yeah. Well, he says if the day comes that that's the only
thing. Okay, because I hope he's not implying that.
Right.
Because they went to the AFC title game.
Right.
They won the AFC East.
Yeah, that day has not come.
Yeah, if that day comes where he has a cheap name-only recognition for the Pro Bowl, we will point it out. I think we've proven ourselves, well, Paul, Eric, and I over the years, Fred not necessarily, he thought Merriweather was a Pro Bowl safety when he was here, and then when he left, he said he was a joke of a player. We are consistent where we'll tell you how we actually feel.
I believe what I said with Merriweather
you loved him.
Was that, you know, there's not a lot of really great safeties in the NFL.
Okay. You know?
And that he's probably...
He was not a Pro Bowl safety. He was never a Pro Bowl safety.
He's probably one...
Ever.
You know...
Ever.
He's
ever.
Probably among, you know, the upper echelon of...
Who's better? Devin McCourty or Brandon Merriweather? The Devin McCourty we've seen at safety here or the Brandon Merriweather at safety here?
I think at the top, I think McCourty had better playmaking ability than...
McCourty's better.
Merriweather had better playmaking ability than McCourty.
Did you happen to hear the interview with Rodney Harrison when he was going over busts in the draft and for Bill Belichick?
Now
and
it
he
is.
Offered,
yeah.
No. He always was. Yeah. He was not good. No, he was never that good. He was a headhunter who thought he was a hard-hitting Ed Reed.
He was that never lived up to his potential.
He was never good.
He was a head
he
case.
He was overrated.
He was a head case.
He was never good. McCourty's,
he was his own worst
you know,
enemy.
I don't even love McCourty as
I know.
A safety.
I know.
McCourty's better.
He was his own worst enemy, Brandon Merriweather.
Right, because he stunk.
He's still in the league. By the way.
So?
I know.
What does that mean?
It doesn't mean much, but I'm just saying he could have been a lot better than he was.
No, I don't think he could
have. I think he could
have. He wasn't good.
Well,
he wasn't that good.
I think.
Why could he have been better?
I think because mentally, I think he was not smart enough to realize what he needed to do out there.
Right. Well, that's part of skills is knowing what you need to do.
I get it.
He wasn't good.
Let's see. Johnny from L.A., I think our wide receiver core stinks. I think the time Dobson is missing is going to ruin his chances of having a breakout season. I think there's no room for error when you're throwing to short wideouts, and I think ownership and management has done Brady an injustice by not providing him with better weapons. It's basketball on turf, and we don't have any basketball players. We had one, Moss, and we almost went 19-0. How is this so difficult to understand?
I don't know. I mean, it's not difficult to understand. They got Moss the same way they tried to get everybody else, on value. They took a guy whose value was down and took a chance on him. They haven't been willing to invest to get a great receiver. Because great receivers, actually, scratch that, not even great receivers. Good receivers make a lot of money. You know, Mike Wallace, didn't he get like $65 million from the Dolphins? They paid their wide receiver core more than almost anybody because of Mike Wallace. Generally, the way you get a great receiver is you have to draft him near the top of the draft and then re-sign him. Calvin Johnson, A.J. Green, Julio Jones, Andre Johnson, the guys in Cardinals, both Cardinals, Larry Fitzgerald, Anquan Boldin. You have to generally draft high, develop, and keep. That's how you get great receivers.
All right. Food's here, so we're going to take a little bit of a break. When we come back, more of your emails, and there's lots of them here in PFW in Progress.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
PFW in Progress presents Car Shopping with Fred Kirsch.
You know, when I first got married, my wife's car, she had a Subaru Outback, okay? The woman across the street comes over and says, oh, you have a Subaru Outback. That's a lesbian car. And I'm up pruning the tree. I'm like, who asked you?
Never question the boss when it comes to cars.
Did you say that? Yeah, I said that to her. Who asked you? But my point is, who cares? If lesbians have adopted the Subaru Outback, but I like a Subaru Outback, I don't care.
Because there's
only people like you that have hang-ups.
No.
Take offense at it.
Did you listen?
I have a hang-up.
Nobody will ever tell Fred Kirsch or his wife what to drive. Now back to PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Andy jumped out because he had a pee. So much information we give you here on the show. Pete from Augusta, Maine writes in, and I don't know how he knows this, but he says if it's a 30-second clip, you can play anything. Did you hear that, Kevin? So we'll have to get confirmation from that. A lot of time our legal department doesn't realize what exactly we're doing, and they give us advice
that really doesn't apply to us. So we'll figure this one out because, you know, I don't like using that generic music. So here comes Andy. Andy, Pete from Augusta, Maine says, if you're doing a 30-second clip, you can play anything. So, I don't know. Pete, maybe you can tell us your source.
So,
Pete, maybe you can work for our legal department.
Hello? Am I on?
No, I don't think you're
on.
No.
I'm not on.
Oh, now I'm on. So we just have to put together a poop load of 30-second clips.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I don't think what Kevin plays now is any more than 30 seconds as it is.
You know? Even when you're filling...
The only time it would be more than 30 seconds is before the show, but okay. I can use, you know...
But even then, if you put together
you can edit
30-second exactly, clips, you got 25 minutes of music.
Exactly. That's what I'd do.
So just do that. Like, take the top 40 1 week, and you could literally take 30 seconds of every song.
Well, I just want to make sure that... I'll write an email and make sure that we're...
Oh, make sure we're not just taking the advice of some guy on the internet.
No, but I had suggested that to legal, and they were like, just to be safe, don't use any of it.
Just to be safe is never really a good thing. When you're trying to be creative and forethinking.
If you're climbing mountains, just to be safe is a good thing.
We're not.
No, but the part that kills me, like that Fred car shopping thing, right? I use that song here in my, you know what I mean?
Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But right. So I just use, like, it had no words, like, whatever. Like, I could make that as generic and dull and butcher it so that it's not the actual song. Fine.
Right.
But you take away a lot of the creativity from the stuff.
Yeah, I do think we need some new opens. Somebody, why does it say "and Andy"?
It always says that.
And Andy?
Yeah, I know why.
12. I don't know. That was long before I got
it. Somebody tweeted me and says, what does that mean? It seems like it's an inside joke. And
it was at one time. And now we don't even remember what it
exactly.
Is.
So it might be time to get rid of it.
Okay, that's fair enough.
And might be time to have a new whatever.
New movie?
New shtick. Yeah, do we have any new movies that we could do?
I can get a new movie. I'm waiting to get yelled at.
Oh, did you tape that thing?
The Bachelor? I rolled it. I have it.
Yeah.
Oh, so here's something secret that we can talk about. I have a suggestion. Maybe I already mentioned in the show that for the games, when it's a big third down stop that's needed, we do Godzilla. The extended roar of the new Godzilla on the screen. Don't you think that would be cool?
Instead of...
Well, they used to do like Braveheart and stuff. I think Godzilla would be great.
Yeah, they did 300.
Yeah. Are we allowed to?
Sure.
I'd assume so.
Yeah.
Sure. Just go for it.
Oh, you can do that. What do you think about that?
Well, other stadiums do it, so I'd assume
you know, so like make noise and you have Godzilla.
I'm fine with it.
That'd be kind of fun.
It's better. No disrespect to whosever idea it was, but those player things are terrible.
Yeah.
Where you have they do like the Hogan,
agree.
Those are awful.
Especially since most of the time you don't have any sound associated with them.
Right. That's what I, and some of the players aren't exactly players that naturally are rabble rousers or whatever.
Right.
It doesn't work.
No, I just think key stop coming up. You don't overdo it, but like a certain time of the game, key stops need all of a sudden make noise and then Godzilla's.
Now,
on
is
the
this
screen,
from what you just saw, you mean?
Yeah. It's a great sound.
Okay.
You know?
I believe you.
I think people would see it and just go nuts.
Okay.
They'd go bananas.
Do it. Break it out. Raiders.
Can you make that work, Kevin? Can you get that sound?
What, the Godzilla sound?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But we need it like real quality sound.
Quality sound?
Yeah.
I don't know if I could get quality sound.
Because I know there's an extended HD roar on YouTube, and that's the one I want.
You are
Fred
such a dork.
Fred just watches it all day long.
Seriously, why do you know there's an extended?
I researched it.
He's got the split screen. One is on Brandon Spike's video, and the other is on the Roar.
What is wrong with you?
Kevin writes in. I think on the Belichick as GM question, one, the inability to draft and develop wide receivers and defensive backs, and two, swinging and missing with high profile players in free agency with Colvin not so bad, Thomas by and large bad.
Oh yeah, Thomas was a bad one.
Yep. On an issue related to drafting, if you think about it, if a team drafts in the bottom half of the first round, you can think of it as having no first round pick and drafting higher than half the teams in rounds 2 to 6. Therefore, in principle, you should have as much success with your first round pick as anyone else with their second round pick because you are picking before them. The penalty for being a good team is effectively losing your first round pick and getting a 7th instead, but getting a higher draft pick than lesser teams in rounds 2 to 6. Okay, you lost me. Whatever. Let's see.
So he basically is saying we should compare his first to second, right. Second to third, like keep going, compare for the first half of that next group.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, it's just too much.
Chris in Auburn, California, did you guys notice anything or anyone that stood out in OTAs? You guys have any dark horses to make a difference this year? I have a good feeling for Finch. I think he'll have a surprising impact.
Finch will have an impact in the preseason. I'm way too far away from dubbing a 160-pound guy potentially being a regular season guy, but he's going to be an exciting guy to watch. Josh Boyce, I am feeling very good about. I think he has looked good out there. Defensively, for some reason, I've latched on to Cameron Gordon, although he, I don't believe, was out there today. Other guys I've latched on to, I'm ready. The linebackers intrigue me. I said that earlier. The one guy who stands out just because of his pure size is that tight end, Jones, the 6'8" guy that I think they like just because he's massive.
Yeah.
It looks like he can't catch.
Really? Scott writes in, here is the conversation that Dennard could have had once he got out of jail. Dennard, I was on a news blackout since I went to jail. Did I miss anything? Friend, well, Tlaib went to the Broncos. Damn, so now I'm the number one corner with a contract year coming up. Great. Well, not really. They picked up Revis. Damn. Well, at least I will be back as on the other side. Well, you have company. It looks like Browner is the number two. Damn. So I can still be the slot corner. Well, they're paying $4 million to Kyle Arrington, so damn. I bet they'll move me to strong safety because I'm the most solid guy on the team. Well, the word on the street is that they plan on moving Logan Ryan in there. Damn, I need a drink. Move over. Let me drive. That's terrible.
I can't believe you read that.
Why not? That's all a joke. Shouldn't be joking about drinking and driving. I know. It's PFW in progress. Let's see.
We should point out, because I know you like to give the flavor of everything going on. A, there's a massive group of CBS people here that are doing some sort of site visit, but there's like 40 of them just wandering the hallways, CBS, I don't know.
Is Jenny Dell one of them?
No. Oh. This seems like directors, producers, that kind of thing, getting ready for, oh, we park our truck here,
yeah,
and we do
this.
We've
never been to Gillette Stadium.
Right,
before.
I don't know. Yeah. And then there was
a
guy.
Oh, by the way, the Falcons are going to be the Hard Knocks team.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Scott Pioli.
Yeah.
Scott Pioli is going to be the Hard Knocks team. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Talk about that hypocrite in a different place.
Right.
What a fraud. That's unbelievable.
I mean, he might have been against it. He's not making the calls there, but, you know.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. We have an audience now from Comcast Sportsnet New England, or
learning how to create content.
Some skinny twig. He could come in and fill in for Eric, be the 120-pound guy on the show.
Josh,
you do have hair, a smaller nose, and I like you.
Who are you talking about? People,
Mike Giardi's in the other. They know who Mike Giardi is.
I know, but they don't know that's who.
See, I'm gonna actually pay him a compliment. He is the hardest working man in Boston sports media.
Oh, absolutely.
He covers the Red Sox, the Bruins, the Celtics, and the Patriots. I see him on TV all the time. Apparently, he does not like his wife and kids because he's never home. But he legitimately, people know him.
Right.
And we also have Mr. Moose and Glenn.
Well, Glennie. The next step from what he's doing right now is NBC Sports. So
it is interesting that he does seem to be the one who was left behind. Everybody from there goes to NBC Sports or something, and Giardi's still just holding strong at CSN.
Josh from Walpole says,
I haven't... Big step up from the days backing up Chris Collins, though.
I haven't heard much about Nate Ebner at strong safety. It's his third year in the system, and at that position, I think he could be an enforcer. I think he'll be able to beat out Chung in that role. Any word how he's looked in OTAs? I did see him today. He looked bigger. Don't you think so?
Yeah, he's a special teamer.
No, but he looked bigger than he has been.
As he should. He should bulk up. He doesn't need to cover anybody in the secondary.
Okay.
He's an emergent. If he plays in the secondary, they have problems. Nate Ebner, I find it hard to believe he's the dark horse going to be. Although, you know who I forgot about? I was looking out there. I was like, oh, who's playing safety? And I had your binocular. Oh, Tavon Wilson. I haven't even thought of it. Like, he's just, he should be good. He looks the part. Yeah. But he is so irrelevant now.
Dan's in Virginia on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Dan.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good.
What's up? Is Australia in the World Cup?
Yes, we are, and this is why every 4 years Australia takes an interest in soccer.
So they're not
much
very
like
good,
the
huh?
US.
Yeah, they're not.
Rugby and Australian rules football is big down there.
Exactly, Fred. It'd
be weird if Australian rules football was not big down there. Fred's mad at me, and he's chewing his cud or whatever they say. All right, what do you got?
With regards to the music, couldn't Eric like play the clarinet with the cello?
That would be very interesting.
He prefers the flute.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
Plus, my guess is based on everything else he claims he's good at, he's not good enough at it. It would suck.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't be good. It would drive listeners away. The idea is we want something to hold the listeners until they listen to our show.
But I think waiting for Eric to play sucky clarinet, people would listen.
But he wouldn't know it was sucky.
People would.
Right.
And so it would be entertainment.
Yeah, but not what he thinks.
It doesn't matter what Eric thinks.
And does he actually play an instrument? I thought he played the piano.
Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, plays both. No, he does. He plays both.
I've heard he plays both.
Yeah, in five different languages.
Right.
Does he play like a quartet, or does he just play with himself?
Well, he was once compared to a young Mozart. is that all you got? You called in to make fun of Eric?
I had more, but...
Okay, because that's fine if that's all you had. We are okay with people just calling in to make fun of Eric.
Before I get into what I was going to say, just to Olivier, you'll have to excuse Marino not understanding soccer. I mean, one, Marino is American, and two, he may or may not be dealing with concussions, depending on what his lawyers say.
Right, depending what day it is. Plus, he also doesn't know about winning, and wasn't that one of the criticisms? He didn't understand about winning at all and everything. He wouldn't know.
But what I wanted to say was a shout-out to Rodolfo of the PFW Elite, because he posted a link to your first ever... PFW in Progress show, which was a great listen, particularly for the similarities. Fred dismissing concerns about a player's injuries with the statement, he'll be fine, although it hadn't evolved into fine yet. Paul's love of Drew Bledsoe and Fred's love of giving Paul grief for his love of Drew Bledsoe. And Fred and Paul almost getting an argument over nothing. Fred having technical difficulties, so he couldn't hear Neil from Arlington, even though Neil came through quite clearly on the broadcast.
What year was that? What year was that?
This is 2000, Fred. It's it was because you were discussing them keeping Brady as a rookie.
Yeah.
Which Paul found surprising. So ironically, Paul was the one that was keeping track of Brady at the time. It's funny. Also, coincidental mentions of Junior Seau and Corey Dillon, which is, you know, just having known what we know now.
Yeah.
And Fred taking more breaks than Eric. Eric, I mean, it's understandable for a first show, but it was like 1 hour and three breaks.
That's real radio.
No, it wasn't real radio.
No, but that's what real radio does. Yeah.
So where's that? At that place down the road?
Yeah, 2000 would have been at the Walpole offices, but we actually had shows before that.
Regularly?
It was called Patriots Cafe, and it was up in the lunchroom.
Oh,
and
yeah,
Don Lauer used to do a show, and he used to pull players and talk to them during lunch hour.
Yep.
At the old Foxborough Stadium.
Yep.
So, thanks for 15 seasons of entertaining internet radio. But I'm a little curious as to why the show started. Was it a marketing thing? Was it your idea, Fred, or did it come from higher up?
Honestly, we'd been doing streaming press conference and stuff since 1996. And then I forget exactly... You know, who thought of it? Probably Jonathan Kraft, but we actually started it with the Revolution first. And they had a radio show. I don't know if it was every night or once a week or something with Brian Donovan, who was the GM back then. He had a show, for a year, and then we quickly had Patriots as well. So I forget exactly let's just start doing radio or what the deal was, but the Revs actually had a show before the Patriots.
Well, and he kind of mentioned it actually today at the breakfast, where he said, you know, the realization that you only have 10 games a year where you can actually physically engage your fans and your customers, and otherwise it's going through guys like Mike Giardi. And so this is a way to directly Patriots
and
to fans.
The ironic thing about football is, as massively popular as it is for a team, the game is the one day where you lose your local fans. In baseball, hockey, basketball, they're all their games are locally produced, so you have all the inventory to promote your in-house stuff, you know, during the games. In football, you lose them on Sunday because now it's a nationally broadcast game by national network.
Yep.
So it's during the week that we have the time to talk to our fans, so we have to create these platforms to do it. But, you know, it wasn't a marketing thing. It was just a fan value thing. It was, hey, we can do this and make it cooler to be a Patriots fan. And that, honestly, was the motivation behind it.
Well, cool.
Plus, Paul likes to talk a lot, so they need
to. Right, we had to give something for Paul to do. Right. All right, Dan, thanks for the call.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
And it makes sense that the Revs would have it first, because a lot of the things on the internet and podcasts were more niche sport driven. But you remember it, like, right, you would look at the top ones, it'd be like skateboarding or...
Yeah, if you go on iTunes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it, yep, it now... mainstream is sort of catching up and using it more.
You're right. You're absolutely,
but it was
right,
all those niche.
Those people didn't have a place, right, to get content.
And so you, what, even if it was 50 people, 500 people, whatever, they would, right, target it.
Noble from Virginia. A lot of Virginia callers today.
Richmond. We'll be down there.
That's right.
What is in Richmond? Like, what's Richmond's like?
Isn't boom, that the capital of Virginia?
Yeah, but like, if I'm going to Richmond and I'm going to spend 4 days there, is there something I should see, do, eat? You know, what's Richmond?
I don't know. I'm sure there's a lot of Civil War stuff down there that you could take a look at. You know, Eric, I'm sure, will be soaking in the history.
I don't want to go with Eric, so if some of our listeners could chime in. If you're in Richmond, let me know what's the thing to do, eat, see in Richmond.
Noble from Virginia, quick game. You can have your choice between two teams. Team one has a 100% healthy Brady. He's making all his throws and playing like an elite quarterback. Pick any year he's had in his career, and he will play at that level. He will also be playing with the same Jags he had last year. He only gets Gronk for 6 games, not in the playoffs. No one has improved or declined from last year. They perform exactly at the same level as last year. Team 2 has every offensive player in their max potential. Gronk is Gronk for all games. Dobson plays like Jeffries from Chicago. Amendola is healthy. Shane Vereen is Marshall Faulk. Everybody plays at their peak potential, but your quarterback is Jimmy Garoppolo. Which team would win more games? Which team could win the Super Bowl? That's a good question. That's a good question. How's my defense?
Yeah. I'm assuming in this case that's the constant.
Right.
The defense will be the same.
Right.
Whatever it is.
Yeah. That's a good question. Gronk is, you know, 16-plus games. Amendola plays a full season for the first time in forever.
I feel like this is blasphemy, but I want to take option two.
Wow. Does it matter who you're running? Well, he said Shane Vereen is playing like Marshall.
They're all good. Yeah, they're all good.
Yeah.
I'm inclined to take option two. Despite the fact that all we say is the quarterback is the most important.
Right.
But Gronk is dominant. We know that.
Right.
And if we're getting Dobson like Alshon Jeffrey, and we're getting Amendola as a playmaker, I'm really inclined to go option two.
But then, in team one, Brady is playing better than he played last year. So one of the things is he's making all his throws. So all those guys people think he missed last year, he actually hit them. And if he had, would the Patriots have been better?
Yeah, I think marginally.
Really?
I think he was surrounded by crap. All I'm envisioning in my head is going to Denver, and he's throwing for Matthew Slater, he's throwing for Matthew Mulligan, he's throwing for Michael Manawanui. That's crap.
Yeah.
And I just think it's almost a winless proposition.
Good
I'm going with two.
Well thought out, good question.
I got another one, because I think interesting emailers will be interested in chiming in on that, but also another one that somebody hit me up with on Twitter. For the next 3 years, you have to pick one of these two players to be healthy and playing at their best, their elite level. The other has to be cut. The other is not a part of the equation. Gronk or Darrelle Revis?
For the next 3 years, top of their game.
Yep.
Gronk.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
But it's not easy.
No,
I think you can make an argument.
Yeah.
I just, you know me, I think Gronk is the most impactful, irreplaceable player in the NFL, or among them.
Yeah.
And I just think he makes everything better. And yeah. Brady for 3 years with Gronk,
yeah,
I think I can win.
Yeah. I think so, too.
So it's funny, because I'm taking Gronk and Brady in one scenario, but yeah, then I'm taking everybody else in the other.
And I'm also assuming I'm not going to get anyone to replace Revis at his level, but I can kind of make up for it somewhere, you know, by playing good team defense. Sam in Chicago, a lovely lady from Florida, called in on Tuesday's show to talk about TB12 and how she's happy to pay to watch games on cable. You guys were confused as to why she had to pay for Patriots games. If you're not in the Boston area, you're forced to buy a cable sports package to see all the Patriots games. With DirecTV, you have to buy the NFL package to see it. Well, I think he's confusing a little bit. I think that the thing about people paying was Brady's. Yeah. You know, Brady said that's why people pay to watch.
Right.
And that's where Andy said, well, they don't really have to pay to watch. I don't think we were confused about the woman saying she.
No. I think, yeah, I think the listener is confusing what we were talking about.
Right.
And, I mean, even, I mean, a lot of fans get Patriots games because of the national broadcasts, even elsewhere.
Right.
You know, because they're so good, they're so often.
Well, at least five games a year you get as primetime games, and those are broadcast.
Then you get either can be the main 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock game so you get a good healthy chunk. But yeah, I thought Brady was a little weird saying that's why fans pay to watch on TV.
Right.
Unless he was talking about DirecTV subscribers.
maybe he owns part of that company too.
I wouldn't be surprised. You see LeBron got 30 mil out of his, Beats.
Really?
Part of the Apple deal, whatever. Jeez. One of the games recently in the playoffs afterwards, he signed a $30 million. I forgot how the
must be just something to just sit there and watch this money roll in.
And it's also why people think, I don't know if you've heard, not to go too far off topic, but the rumors are now the Heat are looking that LeBron and Bosch are going to opt out, sign lesser deals, and they're going to sign Carmelo Anthony and make it a big four.
Oh, my God.
That's the latest rumor.
Sam says, also, thanks for the show. Any word from Eric? He's obviously hoping to have fate put him together with a woman in a faraway land rather than try his luck in Providence. You know he's looking down the aisle on every bus, plane, and train as he travels for an empty seat next to Mrs. Scalavino.
He didn't fall in love in Africa, right? It was the other one, Egypt,
Egypt, he met a 19 or 18-year-old. But I think he must be posting stuff on Instagram, no? Does anyone follow him on Instagram?
No.
Sure, there's stuff going up on there.
He probably blocks everybody. Can you block people on Instagram?
Oh, I would imagine. Yeah.
So he probably blocks them all.
Yep. Steve and Colleen, as we move into the
love
season,
Steve.
My measure of success will be what we do on third down on both sides of the ball. I'm sure you are more on top of the stats from last year, but I seem that it was a glaring issue for us and one I plan to keep a close eye on this year. Thanks for being the first, best, and most accurate source for all Patriots news. And this is for Paul. The rest of the so-called Boston sports outlets who attempt to report on the Patriots can suck it. Finally, I will be following up a special lunch for PFW crew as it relates to PFW and curing cancer. In my own case, I can support this claim based on my attitude while undergoing treatment and listening. In fact, my doctors have approved me for mixed martial arts training.
Nice.
And the quote for Andy on this one, fact, not opinion. Well, that's great.
I know we say this and we never do it. We need to save some of these quotes and some of these claims and some of these praiseful emails.
PFW in progress cures cancer. Yeah.
People love us.
Yeah.
He's the one who bought us lunch. You know, I don't think you were here. You didn't take part. He bought us two lunches the week I believe you were in L.A. Now he sounds like he's ready to buy another.
That's great.
Love, Steve.
Kyle says he
lives. Oh, another email, I don't know if you have it in there, was from the other day's show. Gave us a new term. And he emailed in and said, if Paul and I ever want to have other jobs in Boston sports media, we should stop ripping everybody else in Boston sports media. In his line of work, they call those CLMs, career limiting moves or something.
Yeah.
When we rip everybody like Ben Volen. I forget. Did you see Gronk today bursting and exploding?
No.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering.
I did not.
Hey, Giardi. Can't hear me.
No. Let's see.
You want to get Giardi
Anthony
in
here? Florida says...
Can I bring Giardi in?
If you want. FYI, the official Godzilla Roar is the SoundCloud official movie studio profile. It might be downloadable. But I want to get the extended one. So there's one that's just like a burst, but I want to get the extended one, you know, so it lasts like 3-4 seconds.
Before it explodes and bursts.
Right. But I think people would really, really
don't strut to the mic. It's internet radio. It's nothing to strut about. I don't know. I look to the producer.
Sit down,
that's fine.
There's a microphone. You ever see one of those before?
Mike
Giardi.
Hey.
CSNNE.
It's famous.
Do you call yourself CSNE now or NBC Sports New England?
We're still CSNNE to this point.
Just flows
That'll
right
change.
Off the tongue.
It does. It really does. I have to break it into two parts when I do it.
I work for a publication. Everywhere we go, we're Patriots Weekly or
the magazine.
No one ever gets us right.
Right. So this is quite an honor having you here.
I'm shocked.
Why are you in our studio?
We are feeding some stuff back to the mothership.
Okay.
Okay. What do you think about Ben Volen's reporting that Rob Gronkowski was exploding and bursting last week?
I think that you cannot explode or burst, Andy, if you're only doing it at about 50-55% half speed.
When you're only doing it for like 15 minutes and then you leave the field and go to the bubble.
Yeah,
unless you're watching him in the bubble.
I don't even think he was doing it for 15 minutes.
So did you see him burst or explode today?
No.
Did you see him burst or explode last week?
No.
Okay, thank you. Neither did I. Neither did Paul.
You can't do it. You can't do it when you're doing it. How you can't use the word burst and explode when you're talking about someone operating at less than 100%.
Right.
It's not possible.
Right. It's ridiculous. I just wanted to clear that up. This is a legitimate media member, somewhat. and I just wanted to get his opinion so people don't think it's just Paul and I ranting about the media and whatever.
Well, it is irresponsible if it just didn't happen and it's bad reporting.
But. And if it did happen in the bubble, say in the bubble he is going 8,000%.
Yeah, but he doesn't know that.
So. Well, but if he does, then he needs to say according to a source and let me know why you are reporting something and not pretend that the 35 other people out there just missed it.
Yeah.
You know, as I said last week, you know Mike Reese, he's always grab ass and he misses a lot out there at practice. And he just happened to miss the most important, the two most important guys on the team doing stuff.
The thing that everybody was watching.
Unless you're talking to Paul and he doesn't think any of that is even important.
Right. Well, Paul's just an idiot. So what do you got from today? Give me the Mike Giardi CSNNNNNE observation.
Wilfork working some 11-on-11 stuff, something I don't believe we've seen so far. I thought it was very interesting how much time Garoppolo got one-on-one with Josh McDaniels. I found that, not having Mallett here.
Oh, yeah, where's Mallett? We haven't been following Twitter.
It was an excused absence. I don't know what the absence was for.
Sure, but for what?
Yeah,
pick out a house in Houston or something.
Yes.
He meet with a real
person. Houston's lovely this time of year. Yeah. No, I found that very interesting. And just, Josh had the headset on, so I don't know if they're working on some communication there. You saw him working on handoff stuff with him. It was almost like, hey, the little tutorial there. And, I know that Josh is very high on the kid.
Not as high as you are. You've actually had sex with him.
You know what? See, I know it's only
told you it's internet radio.
I know it's only internet radio, but that's an erroneous statement.
You love him.
That'd be like a burst or an explosion on Cuts.
Well, you're hoping he bursts and explodes.
I should have known
you better. Love him.
Love is a strong word, but
so have some of your comments been during OTAs.
Okay, here's my thing with him, and I know that people say if you didn't play the game or you don't work for an organization, you can't possibly have the depth of knowledge that some other people do.
Played the game, right?
Yes.
At a NESCAC level.
Yes, NESCAC level. But I spent...
As did Bill Belichick, the god of football.
Yes.
That's how I like to point that out to people.
And we kicked the crap out of this
like
every
Bill
year.
Bill Belichick played low-level Division III football.
Yes.
So I'm on the same playing field as Bill Belichick.
Yes. We whooped Wesleyan's ass on a regular basis.
Never mind that Tufts hasn't won a game.
There's
in
a lot of,
You have a Trinity coach now. Jay Civetti. So you're in better hands now.
You want him back?
I'm just saying you're in better hands. You might actually win some games.
He's 0 for his career.
Well, things will turn. Things will turn.
He's got to get his guys in.
I thought that this year they were going to pick a quarterback. I really did. I thought the way that things were lining up with the draft and the talk about Manziel and Bridgewater and some of these guys falling, I just thought there was going to be a good player that was going to be in their range and they were going to have to think long and hard about, is this guy potentially our next starting quarterback? And when you find that guy, I don't care whether he's Tom Brady, as I'm looking at the big fat head of him on the wall. I don't care that he signed for 4 more years. It's irrelevant to me. And I know people say, oh, you can't do it now. You got to do it next year or the year after that. You don't know when he's going to fall off the face of the earth. When the decline will happen in earnest, whether we've seen a slight decline or however you want to argue that. So I spent time looking at 4 guys. I looked at McCarron because everybody's made that obvious connection, a winner in college, smart kid,
right.
Saban, Belichick. I looked at Mettenberger, I looked at Bridgewater, and I looked at Garoppolo. And to me, Garoppolo was by far and away of those 4 guys, the guy that I thought was the most impressive on tape. The quick release, good feet. Yeah, sometimes in under pressure situations, maybe get a little bit of happy feet, but I think that happens to pretty much any quarterback that gets smacked around a little bit. I liked everything about him. And when I put him up against the other 4 guys, the only guy I thought was even remotely in his ballpark was Bridgewater, and I still think Garoppolo is a better guy coming into the league right now than Bridgewater is. So, to me,
I liked him too.
Yeah, to me, it makes a lot of sense. You can't wait.
Yeah,
is that your ride?
No, I agree.
Are Moose and Glenn your ride because they left?
Oh, do they? No, they're not my ride.
No, okay. I said before the draft, and
I said on the show they would just leave on me.
I said the time has come now where it, I don't even care if it's the first round. If there's a guy that you love and he's a quarter, you take him. Now that window's open right now.
Fred, I'm totally in agreement.
I'm not saying that Brady's – we can see the end for Brady. I'm just saying that, like you, you just don't know at this point when – It could happen. You know, 37 years old. That, you know,
even at the cost of a safety or a tight end or somebody who helped you this year.
But who was there?
Nobody.
Yeah, that's the trouble with that argument. Yeah, that's exactly. It's a huge flaw with that argument.
Right.
Everybody who's pounded that and said, well, you could have helped this year's team.
I mean, you could have been better. Like, Fedorowicz was still on the board, right?
Sure.
You could have been better than, what's his, Jones?
The six foot eight guy who can't run. Yeah, nothing.
You could have been better, but were you that much better, or is that just a guy at tight end?
Well, bottom line is they had this kid Garoppolo rated really.
Oh, they love him.
Incredibly high on their board, and you just when there's that much of a drop off between the guy Garoppolo and whoever was number two on the list, whatever position he was at, you pick the best player, and he was the best player.
Well, he had phenomenal numbers. Has anyone asked him why he wasn't Division I?
I don't think we've really had the opportunity to pick his brain about anything yet.
Okay.
And I'm looking forward to it.
He developed.
His own coaches talked about, they
were not sure he was an NFL talent till basically last summer.
Right.
Then they decided
he's a late bloomer.
Potentially. A late bloomer would probably be a good way to put it, but I don't think he's specifically talked about if he had any Division
I. No, I don't.
All right. So you're a Boston sports media guy. So let's roll that forward to today. Mallett's not out there. Is Mallett going to be here come September?
I think that's largely going to depend on how Garoppolo progresses over the next 2 months.
I agree.
I think if Garoppolo has a terrific minicamp and a great training camp and looks good in preseason games, then I think Ryan Mallett is a fifth round pick. If they can get some value for him, they'll do it.
Or peace out.
Yeah, or I could just see a situation where, you know, he's the third quarterback for a little while. Again, for a little while, and then eventually Mallett's on his way out before.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good sign that Ryan Mallett wasn't out there today.
We don't know what the.
I don't think it's a good sign.
Yeah.
I want to be out there. I'm competing. If I'm Ryan Mallett, I feel like I'm competing for my job.
Well,
I think there's a chance there's two quarterbacks, and that I am competing with a second round pick for my job. I want to be out there. So excuse me, but I'm not going to take your excuse day off. I would be out there.
And one of the things I like to
do, he's at the dentist.
Garoppolo missed the first OTA.
Right.
Which I thought
was terrible.
Because of the NFL mandated thing, which, I mean, come on, the NFL. You've already shortened the window for these guys as it is by dragging the draft out a little longer than it should and a little later than it should go anyway.
Yeah.
Now you're going to take this guy and say, you have to go.
Right.
Asa Watson. He has to go to this
terrible thing.
That kid needs to be here, and he knows it.
Right.
And so the one thing I read from Garoppolo coming off that, again, I didn't hear it. It was in print. I don't remember who got him talking about it. Basically, I buried my head in my iPad, the playbook. I'm trying to, I know I needed to be there, and I couldn't be there.
And he seems fine. I said this to Fred earlier. I haven't seen him fail to execute a play or come to the line of scrimmage, and then they have to re-huddle because he didn't know what he was doing. He hasn't looked behind in that way, obviously.
Well, again, with him and when Mallett came in, and you remember Mallett with all the, just never mind the off-field question marks, but was he smart enough? That was one of the things I think people still say. Is he smart enough to run this offense? And I've had people tell me that would know better than I that Garoppolo is already more suited to fit in this offense, more suited to play in this offense than Ryan Mallett ever was and ever will be.
Right. I believe that. We talked a little bit about that earlier. I always kind of thought, and the Garoppolo pick makes me believe it more now, he was drafted to be a Patriots quarterback. He reminds me of a Castle or a Hoyer or a Brady where he's fundamentally sound, he's pretty accurate, he can make his progressions, doesn't have the greatest arm, whereas Mallett felt like a wow physical guy who slipped to the third round that I can turn into a second or a one. That he was more of a commodity and an investment, whereas this guy is a Patriots-type quarterback.
Oh, I don't think, to me, there's no question about that. I mean, I think that,
but you're biased. You're in love with him.
No, I'm saying with Mallett. I'm saying that when they made that pick, I wasn't blown away by it because, again, it was a guy physically had the skill set to be a first-round quarterback in that draft, and then with all the off-field stuff, they said, all right, you know, this guy's slip-sliding away. When you're sitting there picking in the third round, and you don't have many rookies that are going to actually make your team. Again, this is the argument for this year as well. That second-round pick, how many of these rookies are actually going to play and make an impact? It's not going to be that many.
Well, you never know. They had 15 rookies, and they broke camp last year.
Yeah, well.
7 undrafted rookies.
They
could unseat all those.
Scott has a question for Mike. He wants to know, what's Tom Curran like when he's sober?
Tom is a fine humanitarian.
And in all seriousness, he doesn't drink anymore, right?
Maybe I just...
Well, we may have had discussions in the past about Tom getting into bar fights on the road.
When did you stop beating your wife? What kind of question is that?
Well, we may have insinuated that he drank and got into bar fights in the past.
You insinuated that on this program?
Maybe.
Is that slander?
If it's true, it's not. It's called facts.
I'm a big fan of Tom Kern.
No, you're not. See, now I know he's just BS, and the filter is now on. We got some honesty to start. Now the filter is on. You're a fraud.
Shut up.
Eric is posting on Instagram, says, Christian, pictures have been a cup of soup, bridges, sunsets, passport stamps, and night views.
Giardi's a big Eric guy. Do you follow him?
Yes, I do. On Instagram. And I have. I've seen his cup of soup.
Why did he post a cup of soup?
It was goulash.
Is that
the Hungarian thing, right?
Isn't that like everything? It's just whatever they have, they throw it in?
Maybe. I can't say as I've ever had goulash.
Well, Eric can, because he has. Well, he's quite the worldly traveler.
He took pictures of it. I'm jealous of him being over there.
Has he gotten lucky?
I'm going to
Has he broken the 8-year streak?
By the way, Pete from Augusta is a former DJ, so he would know about the 30-second rule for music.
There's a 30-second rule for music?
Apparently we're in some legal trouble. Because
we're not in trouble.
Well, we've been asked to not play the music we're playing.
We're trying to make sure we avoid getting in trouble.
Right.
And we're not in trouble at all.
Copyright infringement.
We were sort of pushing the boundaries of certain licenses we had within the organization that are intended for in-stadium that we're now using on the internet.
You know, we had some things at Neckin, you know, like there's certain music that you could play, and then there was other stuff that, like, top 40, whatever. I want to do a piece. I want to use this song. This song fits the piece. We don't really have the rights to that.
Right.
And after a while, I would say, well, you know what? Who's actually going to call us on it? Who's going to say, you know what?
Right. It's probably $1 million fine, but who's actually going to call?
There's no one going to pay attention to that. And if they are, come on, get a life.
Right. And no one watches Naked.
That's when he used to be the backup.
Yes, I was Chris Collins' weekend
guy. You hosted our show, right?
Yes. On Neckin, yeah. That's the one time I told Fred Kirsch, I'm running this program. You will respect my authority or something like that. Do you not remember that?
Was I being a jerk?
You were being a little, a jerk seems a little excessive, but you were, you know.
I was probably being a jerk.
You were pushing me around a little bit, and I wasn't going to take it anymore.
Oh, those are great shows.
No one saw them. Rerun those. Re-rack those. Yeah.
David from L.A., I was hearing the NFL Around the League podcast, and they were saying that Tom was done and that he wouldn't win another Super Bowl due to his age, and Peyton Manning, if he were to win another Super Bowl ring, would become the best to ever play the position. If I sounded like I was under the sheets, it may have been because I was with your mother, Andy. Oh, so that was David from L.A. Yes. Who called in before.
I didn't say you sounded like you were under the sheet, so I don't know why it ended up in an Andy mother joke.
I think that's kind of funny. Should have been. Good job by him.
Well, we have one caller who ends every call. Mrs. Hot, I'm coming. I'm right there.
Okay, so here's a little game. It's time for the cut, trade, or sign long-term game, but with a variation. If you trade a player, you will always trade him outside the division. However, if you cut a player, he will always sign with a team inside the AFC East.
Jesus, this is very
complex. Here we go. So it's cut, trade, or sign long-term, Brady, Gronk, or Revis. Cut, trade, or sign long-term. So who do you cut, who do you trade, and who do you sign long-term out of Brady, Gronk, and Revis?
So I only get to keep one?
Yeah.
There's a flaw in that.
That's tough.
You're telling me I have to... Three best Patriot players, I have to get rid of two of them.
Assuming you could trade and get something good for it, too. So it's not like you're just getting rid of the guy.
No, but I mean, like Brady, you're going to get something for.
Right.
Despite what Sam Munson thinks, I'm guessing you could get a pretty good haul for Tom Brady right now.
Right.
So I will trade Tom Brady.
Yep.
I will cut Gronk, and I will sign Revis long term.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm just pulling that out of my ass. This is a difficult hypothetical.
Yeah.
You get an answer? Well, you have to get rid of Brady because you love Garoppolo, so you're good there.
I trade Brady because I think I'm going to get the most for Brady. How can you not cut Gronk? I mean, if you're looking at injury history, I would.
That's also the one that's going to hurt you the most, because if he stays healthy and he plays for the Jets or the Dolphins,
he's
going to kill you.
Crap out of
absolutely. Because don't tell me he wouldn't have fun spiking it down your throat twice a year.
He would enjoy every.
If he stays healthy, yeah.
He would score a touchdown and he would probably go shirtless. He would take the whole pads off and just go shirtless.
Let's give Mike the hypothetical from earlier. It's You get Brady at better than he was last year. Brady at basically whatever you think Brady's ceiling was or could be moving forward. The greatest
at
Brady.
This age. So
No. You can get Brady 01, 04, 07. You have the best Tom Brady, mm-hmm. and everything else on your offense is the same as it was last year. You have crap at tight end and crap at receiver and everything else. Or you get the best of everybody else on the offense. Gronk is healthy for 16 games and at his best. Amendola is healthy and at his best. Edelman's healthy and at his best. Shane Vereen
and
is at his
best. And all the projections come true.
Vereen becomes really good. Dobson becomes Alshon Jeffrey. But you don't have Brady.
You don't have Brady.
You have Jimmy Garoppolo.
If you have Garoppolo, you're finally that perfect season? The hell with the Miami Dolphins. Undefeated.
Andy agreed.
I agreed. I mean, I didn't go quite that far, but I took option B.
I think I would take option B. If you're going to tell me all those guys
are
going to
be idiotic, though, because all we talk about, NFL, the quarterback's all that matters. If you have the great quarterback, that's such a head start.
Yeah, this team won 11 games with Matt Castle at quarterback. Yeah, I know they didn't beat anybody good that year, but they still won 11 games with Castle at quarterback. Yeah, and they made him a lot of money.
I said to Fred, I am the biggest Gronk fan there is, and I think he is one of the most dominant, irreplaceable players in football.
I would agree.
So if you guarantee me I get Gronk at his best for an entire season.
He's uncoverable.
Yeah. I think even Jimmy Garoppolo, if he's not as good as you think, will have some success.
Jimmy Garoppolo, future Hall of Famer.
Okay. We're not going to finish Nick's game. He has others because it takes too long. But he says, P.S., Mallett obviously didn't get traded to the Texans because neither J.J. Watt nor Andre Johnson were. Good one.
Good call.
Good one.
But I don't understand. Like, where would he be?
I don't know.
Like a funeral or something?
It would have to be something of a personal nature, right?
Yeah, but something significant of a personal
nature,
I would assume.
Yes, it would have to be.
I find it interesting.
Otherwise, what are you doing?
Is there any chance they would cut Ryan Mallett now as a thank you? Go get a job.
I don't know.
No.
I don't think so either. So.
No.
I think it'd be too nice, first of all. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo could blow out his knee next week, and you don't have a backup quarterback.
And I will be in a fetal position for months.
I want to help out. Years. I want to help out Matt from Vancouver, who's traveling, and he's in San Diego. He has two tickets to the game tonight, the Mets at the Padres. He doesn't have anyone to go with, and he'd like to go with a Patriots fan.
So if you're in San Diego.
So if there's anyone on the Patriots Elite Facebook page, you can get in touch with Matej Holan. That's his name. He calls himself Matt, I guess. You can get in touch with him, and you can go to the
Mets. That sounds like a makeup. Someone might be pulling your leg there.
I also feel like you're connecting terrorists or something.
Why?
This is some like.
Oh, okay. That's not profile. anyway, so if you want to go to the Padres Mets game tonight, go on the Elite page.
Goes by Matt.
Find Matt, and he's got two tickets.
That's a cool ballpark, right? I've never been there, but
it looks
cool.
Absolutely. Great place. Yeah. Great place.
Ramon in Dallas wants to know, and he asked Paul this, but.
Well, that's Mike. He's sitting in Paul's seat. He's much skinnier.
What's more impressive?
I have way more hair than he does.
He wants to know, what's more impressive, having the record for the 40-yard dash at the Combine or having the fastest time from home to first base in your mind? What's more impressive in your mind? And by the way, the record at the Combine is 4.24 by Rondell Melendez.
No, that's not true.
1999 Falcons.
No, Bo Jackson.
Okay.
By all accounts, anyone who's ever been there says Bo ran the fastest 40.
Unofficial. Okay, officially, it's Rondell Melendez.
No, it isn't.
4.24.
There is no official, because the generally adhered to official is Chris Johnson from a couple of years at like 4.2 something.
Yeah.
So don't give me official. There is no official.
All right.
So you can't say official when there's no such thing.
I'm going 3.3 seconds, Billy Hamilton from the Reds in 2014. So which would be more impressive to you? You have the record for home to first or 40 in the combine?
Baseball players are not great athletes. I'm taking football players any day of the
week. To me, I would need to know the comp. Like, Bo Jackson's, supposedly he ran like 4.18 or something, is ridiculous.
Right.
There are guys that are fast that run a 4.35. Like, just think of that delta, that difference.
Sure.
I don't know what the difference between Hamilton and any other guy is. Is it 1/100th of a second?
Well, if it's A.J. Pierzynski, it's like a couple
seconds. No, I know, but other fast
guys.
No,
Hamilton is, and this is the kid who sold 100 bases in the minor
leagues.
But
is he that much faster than everybody else? Would be my point. Whereas I think Bo was ridiculous.
No, I think if Jacoby Ellsbury's healthy and you put Jacoby Ellsbury and Billy Hamilton, they're in the same ballpark.
I want the guy who's just the furthest away from the pack, basically. The that much faster than everybody else.
Yeah.
But still, I
you're right, because a 4.3, if you say you're on a 4.35 40, everybody goes, holy crap, this guy's a burner.
And Bo goes, talk to me when you finish.
Yeah, 4.18, that's a right. huge
Ridiculous.
Difference.
Now, that may be legend lore or whatever. But.
Well, it's Bo.
It's Bo.
Bo knows.
Hey, and Andy
guys.
Loves.
Hey, guys, and Eric, who will be by when he comes back from Prague. I've been rewatching the games from last year. Paul keeps talking about how Brady didn't play well in the Bengals game, but rewatching it, I have never seen our offensive line get pushed around the way they were in that game.
And that sucked.
Both mental mistakes and simply getting pushed around. Brady had to make many throws in a phone booth.
And bad coaching.
Everyone
that ran a play action on the whatever the second or third play of the game. You hadn't established anything, and Geno Atkins goes, I'm just going to tackle Brady.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want with that little fake thing. I'm going to hit your quarterback.
Everyone keeps talking about Moss and says, why don't we get another receiver like Moss, or look what we did when we had Moss. Moss is a very rare talent. A Moss does not happen often. They might as well be saying, hey, why don't we get a future Hall of Fame wide receiver who was considered arguably one of the top three talents ever to play the game?
That's a good point.
The following list I found on the internet and seems like an accurate assessment of the current top 10 wide receivers. Which one of these would you say are as good as Moss was in 2007? Dez Bryant?
No.
Calvin Johnson?
Yes.
A.J. Green?
No.
Brandon Marshall?
No.
Larry Fitzgerald?
No.
Demaryius Thomas?
No, but close.
Josh Gordon.
Demaryius Thomas close? Are you out of your mind?
Demaryius Thomas is good.
He's not close to Moss. And,
he's good.
Yeah, he's not.
He's
that.
The only one that I even consider other than Johnson. I think all the other guys are eh.
Josh Gordon and Andre Johnson and Vincent Jackson.
Yeah, Calvin Johnson's the only one.
Right. Looking at the top receivers and their draft location, there are three we could have had: Josh Gordon, Vincent Jackson, and Brandon Marshall.
Well, we know why no one has Josh Gordon.
Right.
Because he's a dink.
There were opportunities to get good wide receivers, but not opportunities to get a Moss replacement.
Well, that's what we're talking about. It's hard to do, and even harder to do in a value-based system where you got Moss for nothing. And
Let's see. Ross Tucker is trolling on the internet. He's saying that Tom Coughlin's track record is more impressive than Bill Belichick's. I'm sure the New England fans aren't going to like that.
Well, you know what I always say. Give Bill Belichick 2 weeks to prepare for a Super Bowl, and he'll lose to Tom Coughlin. Just kidding, Bill. Love you.
Mike writes in, I was wondering what group will be surprisingly strong and what group will be surprisingly weak. I think the safety group will be surprisingly strong, and I think the running backs will be surprisingly weak.
I think that's a solid argument for the running backs. A lot of questions there.
Yeah. Ton of questions there. Although, I don't know how you can say the safeties. I mean,
wait, I didn't agree to that
well,
part.
Well, it'd be surprised if they were strong.
Oh, he said, right.
I'll be surprised if they're strong.
Yeah, so will I.
Well, he thinks they will be.
When Logan Ryan is the other safety.
You know, maybe they'll be good. I don't know. I've never seen Logan Ryan play safety. I have my doubts about the safety position this year. Big year for Devin McCourty, I believe, to prove that all the excuses are gone. You got an elite corner next to you. You're not covering anybody's ass. Go make some plays.
Let's see.
Tell me how you really feel.
Well, I like Devin a lot, but everybody tries. He's a guy that gets a lot. Because people like him, they make a lot of excuses.
He's
for
not. He's not an elite safety, but nope. he is better than most.
Right. Except he is. Well, I'm not sure he's better than most. He's better than some. I think he's a mid level, and I'm not even sure he's.
Well, this is a test, like you said.
He's top 10
this year. Ooh, we'll see if he's a good safety because he has no excuses now. He has.
That gets to his argument. There's just no good safeties.
I think safety is one of the weak positions in the NFL. I think there's a lot of middling guys out there, and when you get a guy like Polamalu, who you know, in his short period when he was great, they stand out because there's not a lot of them. And he's on TV now.
Earl Thomas, same thing. There aren't a lot. You're right.
They stand out.
You're absolutely right.
Paul, the football philosopher, he calls himself. I have some happy news. My son, Sage, has become a huge fan of the show. Last month when we drove out to a Revs game,
how old is
he
Sage?
Sat up front and he and I listened to you guys through one earbud off my iPhone to pass the time. My wife, who is not a fan of yours, had to sit in the back. Good for her.
Wow.
She has class and taste.
She got relegated to the back.
And I'd like to know how old your son is, because I'm not sure I feel that he's should be listening.
Two draft-related questions. First, this time of year, you hear a lot about teams drafting or picking up players to help them match up against specific opponents. Various NBA teams take on players to help them contain LeBron. The other AFC East teams always seem to be picking up a defender who will somehow put pressure on Brady.
My question is, do you think Bill ever drafts players with the goal of matching up against specific teams or players, and should he? I've read some pieces recently suggesting that he took Stork with Wilkerson or Knighton in mind. Do you think that, rather than Bill just responding to a general trend toward bigger defensive tackles, do you think that, do you buy that, he says?
I don't think it's player related.
Trend related.
But, well, undersized center, that's not all that good related. It's upgrading a position. I think it's...
Yeah.
Did you you didn't happen to notice whether he may have pooped his pants today, did you? Stork.
No, I did not.
He did this weird thing. Did you see when he got yelled at?
Because
there was a snap and he
yes.
As soon as he finished his lap later, I'm watching him, and he gets two towels and he pulls his shorts way out and jams the towels way down and wipes up and down a few times and then like leaves the towels in his crack and like pushes them in and leaves them in his. And the only thing I could think of is that he pooped himself. Like
hemorrhoids?
A little squirt or something.
Hemorrhoids?
I don't know. It was weird. I've never seen it happen. Never seen it.
Wow.
This, you know, this is not the normal you tuck it in for the quarterback or anything kind of thing. This was all the way down, like reach way underneath and clear everything.
I think it was ESPN, the magazine, did a piece a couple years ago on guys having bathroom problems, football players. And it was the center for Seattle when Hasselbeck was the quarterback. And he said he was sick as a dog for like 3 days, couldn't keep anything down, but they needed him. They needed him to play. He couldn't practice. And he's like, I just couldn't stop going to the bathroom. So he's like, basically, the day of the game, they gave me as much Imodium and all that stuff as they could possibly put in my body. You'll be fine. He said the first time, he was hit, which was the first play of the game.
Oh, my God.
Everywhere.
That's gross.
Well, Larry Izzo did a number two on the sideline. They brought out a pail and they surrounded him. And Belichick actually gave him the game ball afterwards for, I can't believe you did that without me knowing it. And he gave him a game ball because of it. So, all right, that's going to do it.
That's it?
Yeah.
We got to thank Mike Giardi
from CSN for joining us.
And he now either has to find his cameraman or his PR escort because they all left.
Right. I am just going to wing it and run out of there, baby.
Thanks for listening this week. Eric will be back at some point.
No, we'll not next week.
Hear all those stories. And Paul will be back next week. And we'll continue all this talk. Big week next week. Mini camp.
Mandatory, which means everybody will be here that was here this week.
All right. We'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.